And we're live on the rant, rantemradio.com. And if you're
Ooh.
listening to us in platform, platform, what an asshole.
Platform.
If you're listening to us in podcast form, oop, let me turn that down. If you're listening to us in podcast form, we appreciate the download. Be sure to join us every Monday night on the rant, rantemradio.com, and the Hot Mic app. When you download the Hot Mic app, just put in the code word wizards. It's free, and we get the credit that we deserve. Tony. Episode 504. How are you feeling over there?
I feel like an old man, but I still feel good.
Why do you feel like an old feller?
Because I'm an old feller.
Feller.
Fella. Fella. Hey, there was a lot of great wrestling this week. A lot of great wrestling. We got Nelly's butthole up in the air. Also, some not so great wrestling that we'll hear about from, I'm sure, Matt and Kevin. I think Kevin watched it as well. But the greatest match of the week is not from the most likeliest of sources. No, 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 no. Find out what my favorite match of the week was. What else are we talking to? Yo, we got picks to cover as well. Yo, we got results from fucking Impact's Bound for Glory. We got results from Hell in a Cell. And we got a lot of other shit to talk about. We're talking Chamber of Horrors tonight. Great American Bash. Jesus, Halloween Havoc. I got to get the fucking holiday right. You can get it right, too. This is your last chance to get a Shining Wizards holiday shirt for the holiday of Halloween right here at his bad boy. We got pumpkins, spooky spiders, and a boo-rific ghost. Check this out. Get them right now. $20 shipped. Wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Matt, I got nothing else to plug. We're going to plug all the other shit later. Well, let's plug the show.
Let's do it. Next, episode 504 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantemradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. Become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Gino Guts of the Taboo Crew, running WrestlePro Rupshot, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast. Fucker.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Five, oh, four, Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. What's up, everybody out there in Radio Land? If you are your news, you're listening to my boys, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling. Got to turn my mic on after the intro.
Turn my mic on, Tony! All right, let me start this.
No, Matt?
Welcome to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about the wrestling.
Big Puma.
T-Donk. Big Puma. T-Donk.
Matt didn't do a Kevin nickname. I'm surprised.
I was waiting for it.
You guys broke my heart. 2 weeks in a row, my friends, my wrestling friends, and you spoiled another fucking pay-per-view for me. Never mind that it was just one match. You still spoiled it. I'm in the goddamn fucking woods by Great Adventure, working in the fucking ice cold, standing on the wet grass, dealing with all these drunk people at a wedding. And I got you two schmucks to, oh, you didn't want spoilers? No, I spent $40 so Kevin could watch the fucking Impact pay-per-view for us, you fucking hand job. Tony's like, oh, I heard this happen.
You treat me really well, Matt.
And I don't mind, but then Tony's like, I didn't know you didn't want spoilers. I didn't know you cared. I didn't know this. My name is Tony Z. And then we get some fucking emo text yesterday. Oh, can't wait for tomorrow so I could be yelled at all day.
Well, it's true. You're picking on me now, and then Kevin will pick on me later for my questions, and then it'll come full circle.
You spoiled the show for me.
I didn't. First of all, Sue Young wasn't even on the show. So the fact that I said that, I could have been 100% fucking with you. But instead of getting that, huh? I get, thanks a lot, asshole. But it, you know what? From what I heard from you and from your cohorts over at D-Generation Y, I wasn't the one that fucked you over. Impact was the one that fucked you over because it wasn't a great show. Am I wrong? Was I hearing you incorrectly?
Well, Tony, we got to go full disclosure here because we, me and Tony were talking about the show in a separate chat because we did not want to spoil the show for you. Oh. And Tony accidentally put that into our text. And I'm like, and I was like, oh, it's Impact. I'm like, well, camera that, like, I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. This is a pay-per-view. This isn't Impact.
And in fairness, Kev, thank you for trying to deflect some of the pain. Blame it. Like, Kevin was taking the blame that it was his fault that we were talking about it, because if we didn't, then I wouldn't have made that mistake.
Yeah. No, Kevin. I started the conversation about Impact totally. Listen, I'm lonely. I need to talk to people. So I decided to
talk to Tony all you want. Talk to him about everything under the sun. Don't ruin my fucking pay-per-views, you two fucking jackwagons.
All right. I retract my deflection. It was 100% Tony's fault.
All right, I'll take the blame for
it. Don't worry, I will effectively ruin everything going forward for the two of you, not just wrestling related. I'll find out what TV shows you watch. I'll find out what movies you like. I will crush you. I will crush you like a bug.
Good. Tell me what happened in Seinfeld season 3, episode 4, and I'll be devastated.
I know you're a big Seinfeld fan, so I'm not falling for your trickery, Kevin.
Hey, give me some spoilers on The Mandalorian.
I haven't watched The Mandalorian.
See, he won't watch it, so I'm good.
I didn't say I won't watch it. I said I haven't watched it.
I'm a big Mandalorian guy.
Yeah, you look like a Mandalorian guy. It's not a surprise.
Big, huge Mandalorian fan. So if you want to spoil that for me, go ahead.
Sasha Banks is in this season.
That's the season.
She's in the trailer.
Did it just start? Isn't it just starting or soon?
Starting Friday.
Friday, huh? All right.
Oh, yeah, here's something.
You already see the obnoxious posts on Facebook already.
You guys have Netflix? You got Netflix, right, Matt?
Yes, sir.
You ever watch Bill Burr's show, F is for Family?
Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea that they had a season earlier this year. I found out about it like 3 days ago. I'm like, how long has this been here? So I've sort of been binge watching, along with all this wrestling, the last season of F is for Family. I don't know if it's the last season, but the most current season.
Yeah. Where Kevin, he falls in love with the girl.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You know what I'm up to? I'm up to the last episode where what's her name started going into labor and Frank's in whatchamacallit?
Cleveland?
In Cleveland, yes.
All right.
Interesting stuff.
Funny.
So is it possible that you guys just spoiled the whole thing for a whole lot of people?
No, because this has been out for a while. It's my fault that I had no fucking idea about it.
Gotcha.
No idea.
So, gentlemen, let's talk. Let's talk Impact. Professional wrestling. Let's talk Bound for Glory. We got a full show tonight. We don't have any guests, coming off a strong Teddy Long show. And if you are a dirt sheet reader, you may have saw that the Teddy Long interview was out there. Props to Kevin for writing it up and Tony for getting it out there. So props to you guys. Teddy Long, an awesome guest. He should be getting his Shining Wizard shirt today or tomorrow.
Ooh, guess what? I learned how to do a Teddy Long impression. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Do we?
Shining Wizards.
I get what you were trying to do there.
Poor guy.
A for effort.
Terrible execution.
I know. I couldn't get that techno gravelly kind of voice.
You should have thought this one through.
I didn't. My bad.
Poor feller.
I'm 0-2.
Once we got past the technical issues, the interview went very well, and Teddy's an awesome guy. So
amazing. Amazing.
I think, Kevin, you have a funny sidebar about Teddy Long. Yeah.
I forget how many days after it was. It may have been on like Wednesday or Thursday. He called me. And I knew it was him because I didn't have his number in my phone, but I knew it was him because it came across his private name, which it would have when I talked to him on Monday. And he's like, hello? I'm like, yeah. He's like, is this Kevin? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, did I talk to you about a podcast? I'm like, not since you did the podcast. And he's like, yada, yada. I'm like, no, Teddy, you did the show. We already did it. It's done. He's like, oh, all right. That's cool. And then just left me with a holla.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you guys think it would have been a terrible idea to pretend that we didn't do the show with him and book him again for this week? Or that have just been too rotten? Or would that have been a cool joke?
I mean,
And then he sees the same backdrops and the same three mugs that he saw the week before.
Player, I thought I'd been here before. No, sir, we've never spoken. How are you? You sure, player? Yeah, we're sure.
Actually, he might not notice.
No, you think he does a lot of interviews?
I think he's got a lot. It seems like he has a lot to promote now, so I wouldn't be shocked if he did. Listen, when we did the interview with Rohit, he was everywhere, like, immediately.
Yep.
Like, he did Sports Illustrated. He did, you know, PW Insider. And then I think someone else, too, recently we had and was just – I mean, I guess that's what they do. I guess they go through the motions with the –
We're the trendsetters. These people wouldn't be on all these other shows if it wasn't for us. Am I right? Look, I'll give you an example. We had Teddy Long on Monday. Teddy Long was on SmackDown on Friday. Coincidence? No. They fucking thought that Teddy Long was back because of us, and they put him on TV.
They're listening.
He was the stenographer in the Otis and Miz trial for the
Law and Otis.
Yes, for the right to the briefcase match, which we'll get into.
I mean, full disclosure, I know I'm corporate Kevin. I haven't watched maybe more than 10 minutes a night of WWE programming, and that includes NXT, which I'm ashamed of.
I actually watch like 90% of the pay-per-view.
The pay-per-view I watched, of course.
We're talking Impact, though. Let's get back to Matt's evening.
All right. Well, we had an Impact pay-per-view Saturday night, and we had picks.
Oh, did we?
Please, Tony, please, if you'd be so kind to cue up that wonderful music.
It's time for the fucking disastrous Shining Wizards pay-per-view picks, Bound for Glory edition.
Dare I say?
Go ahead, say it.
Five worst meta picks ever.
Wait, Matt's playing music.
Ah, look at that, Matthew.
I would like to say I have done a first in the picks. I was perfect. 0-7 this week at the Impact Pound for Glory picks. Listen, just so you guys know, and I should have texted you earlier, the women's match I did not count at all.
No, good call.
Because if Soo Young was in it, it would have changed the if we had known beforehand. Still, did not do any favors for any of us. I ate a giant shit sandwich. I can't believe I went 0-7. It's never happened before. I went through all the picks from last year and all the picks from this year. There's been a couple 1-something, 2-something, 2-5, 2-6, 1-7. 0-7, though. I mean, you guys didn't do much better. Tony, you went 1-6.
Woo!
Kevin, 2-5.
Wait, oh, big winner.
Right?
Kevin got 2 right.
Yeah. Rohit, and Rich Swan.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, and Tony, you got Rohit right.
I got Rohit right. That was the only one.
And I lost every fucking pick.
Wait, who did you take for the scramble?
I took Trey.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Fuck.
That was a last-minute switch. I actually wanted to pick Chris Bay, and then I switched to Rohit.
So let me ask you this. Who was in the lead going into this weekend? Did you have a lead on me?
I did. I did have a one-game lead on you, Tony.
Ooh, so we were all tied up going into Sunday.
Yes. Well, spoiler alert on Sunday. We all had the same record.
Yes!
So I ended up gaining a game.
Kevin picked up a game. Nelly, you're going to have to go because we're doing a podcast.
Cat butt.
We all went 3-2 at Hell in a Cell, and we'll talk about that. And then at Bound for Glory, I was perfect. I went 0-7. Tony went 1-6. And Kevin went 2-5. So the standings are me and Tony at 132-72. And Kevin is only a mere 3 games back now at 129-75.
Oh, baby.
And we're like less than 3 months to go now.
Yeah, we're in the final stretch. It's going to come down to the last couple pay-per-views like it did last year.
I'm like the St. Louis Blues, baby. I had the worst record at halfway, and I'm going to come and I'm going to win the Stanley Cup.
Woo! Let's do it. Kevin's looking to go back-to-back.
I can do it, baby.
Tony shaking his head. Look, Tony, I mean.
Can't take Rohit. Get out of the kitchen.
Tony, you got off to a white hot start, Tony. You, and then you, the fucking COVID happened, and you, like, your picks got COVID, like, bro.
Wasn't I like 70-10 at one point?
You were like 42-7 at one point. Like, something ridiculous. Like, you were fucking killing us.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. For someone who, you hated the picks so much that you literally shit on them. And
I still hate the picks. You think I like this? I hate this.
You done it. T-donked it up.
I hate it. I still hate the picks. Hate them.
Yeah, Tony, I know Kevin watched Impact. Tony, did you get a chance to watch Bound for Glory?
Nope, didn't get a chance. I watched a whole bunch of other wrestling, just not Bound
for Glory. That's okay. Me and Kevin will take you on this journey.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Wonderful journey. It was like a magical mystery tour.
It was something, my friend.
Something else.
I will say this. Impact has been doing great stuff on TV leading up to this. Man, this pay-per-view was rough watch, Kevin. I don't know what you thought.
I mean, I don't know if you want to go through it match by match, but I'll tell you what stood out to me as the positives of it. And there were really only maybe three. Like, and I love Impact. I say it every week. I'm a big Impact shill. I love it. The main event, I think, saved the show from being mediocre to good-ish. But while I was watching, I was like, man, I am not as into this as I should be. I loved Moose and EC3. Even though that I didn't predict it right, I thought that Matt, how often would you say that you tune in to Impact?
I don't watch it every week like you do.
Okay. So, like, if you get, like, this match, like, should have been one of these cinematic matches just because everything they've done up to it has been, like, a stalker cinematic, had this theme to it, that the only way they could really, I mean, obviously you could have a match and a regular match would have been better, but this match deserved to be one of these cinematic pieces, which we're seeing just about every show, no matter what company we're in. So that needed to happen this way. And I liked the finish just because it just made sense just based on the story they were telling. That was a big part of it. Main event saved it. And normally I would say the knockouts match, but not this time for me. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just, nothing about the show was, except for the main event, was super outstanding to me. Everything was just like there. So, and that stinks because it's their biggest show of the year. And I love Eric Young. I like Rich Swann. Like, that's their biggest show of the year. And although they told a great story, at the end of the day, does that feel like a, for lack of a better term, WrestleMania main event to you?
No. I think that's a problem too, because everything gets compared to WrestleMania. And usually they delivered. The six man to open the show was awesome.
Okay. Obviously. I think that
right. And I was like, this is a great start. Everyone looks good. Rohit looked great. Jordan Grace was outstanding. Willie Mack is a fucking treasure. Chris Bay, TJP, I mean, Trey, they're all fucking stars.
Absolutely. 100%. It's impossible to have those guys and girls in a match and not give it 4 stars, whatever Meltzer fucking does. Rohit winning like the way that he won is, and this is where I think, like, at least I'm hoping, I thought maybe we'd see like a debut for next challenger, because I feel like Rohit's done all of these competitors a disservice. So I think it's time for him to move on to somebody fresh and someone new to take the title from him. Like, I don't even know who's out there to do it. It's got to be someone fresh that they bring in to challenge him, unless they continue with one of the people in that five-way.
I mean, you saw a return in the Call Your Shot gauntlet. Daivari, who hasn't been in Impact since 2009.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that was a one-off.
I don't see him in that X Division picture, though.
I know you're a big Rumble guy. What did you think of this gauntlet thing?
Like, I didn't hate it. It was weird because it whenever you try to do something that's been done for so long and so well, it'll always come off as like a second-rate version of it. But I think they had their moments. It sucked that Heath got hurt.
I had seen a headline that he had given himself a hernia. So when I was watching it, it like happened instantly. It was like a pump kick, and he was fucking down.
You knew it immediately. You knew as soon as it happened that he was hurt.
And it fucked all of us. I mean, to the grace of the Impact writing, where they were like, if Heath or Rhino win, then Heath gets the job. So what my understanding is from what I was reading that Heath was supposed to win. But boy, right. when he got hurt, it was lights out, bro. He couldn't do shit.
And see, the only thing that hurts, they did what they could in the situation, but now that Heath has a job, if he's out for 6 weeks, then what the heck, like it ruins the finish of the match. All right, Heath has a job. Where is he?
Well, like, it's terrible, but
oh, of course.
The injury bug has been biting a lot of people lately. And I'm not even talking about people that have to pull off of shows for COVID, but it just seems like this is like the worst streak of luck for people getting hurt all across wrestling.
All across every athletic competition you can imagine.
I mean, take a look even from the beginning of the year, like AEW loses Chris Statlander. You know, they lose Matt Hardy, but then they also like lost Abaddon this past weekend as well. Right, and they lost Phoenix for Wednesday as well too. You know what I'm saying? Now you look at Impact, we got a groin pull. Didn't somebody just get hurt on Raw like a week or two ago? Somebody got knocked silly. Thought I had read that somebody
Alex Reynolds got hurt, but he's okay.
Alex Reynolds, holy shit, I forgot about him.
But he seems to be okay.
Yeah, but still, it's a scary fucking thing where it seems like we can't go a week anymore without at least one or two people fucking getting hurt.
Well, you know what I say, Tony. It's not ballerina.
Well, this is true. Maybe too many spoons in the porridge.
Well, you look at the NFL. There's an ACL tear every week.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah. The problem is in the NFL, though, like you don't have all 80 members of your team in storylines every week. You know what I'm saying?
No, of course not. But you have them in games every week. Then you need them to play to win.
No, fair enough. Fair enough.
We saw James Storm came back during the Call Your Shot gauntlet gimmick.
That was kind of surprising when I read that.
That was awesome. That's what I didn't see coming.
Your boy Swoggle was there.
That was awesome. And listen, guys, my dear good friend, Brian Myers, dear good friend, close personal friend, eliminated, I think, 5 people in that match. So he got that diesel push in that Rumble.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a good point.
I mean, out of 20 people, 5 is pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's a great point.
Wait, was he eliminated?
Who?
I think my TV blacked out. I think I had the Teddy Long treatment when that happened.
Yes, Brian Myers was eliminated. He was not down to the final 4.
So he didn't make the match. He didn't win the match.
No, he did not win the match.
No, he did not win the match, Tony.
Matt, do you know what that means?
What's that mean, Tony?
He's a fucking loser! Loser, loser, loser! See you, Brian Myers. You're a fucking loser.
Wow, wow, that's a lot of aggression over there, TZ.
Hey, listen, I haven't done the gimmick in a while, and I figured, what better way to do it than to Kevin's homeboy?
Fair enough.
Shoot him a text. Gonna shoot him a text right now. And tell him you said that.
Yeah, listen. Please listen to our show.
You could tell. You could tell once Heath got hurt, though, that they had to change. The referees were running around. The camera cuts were crazy trying to come up with a new finish where Rhino eventually gored Sammy Callahan.
At least the referees cared in this match, unlike fucking poor Alex Reynolds, where they just pulled him to the corner and left him there.
Well, and Sammy Callahan's entry into the match was a surprise in itself, too. Because he was never advertised.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. I think they said they advertised 10 people, yeah. And then there were 10 surprise entrants. I didn't like the women being involved. I get that they get a shot at the title if they win, but whatever. I know at first.
Also, wait, did you have a problem with what about Jordynne Grace in the X Division match?
I didn't have a problem with her there. It's just like, I don't know. It was just weird.
Enough of that shit.
It was weird. Tony's girl Alicia was there. It was, I don't know, like Alicia Edwards. Come on, what was that? What are you, a fucking gecko? What are you doing over there, you weirdo?
Alicia Edwards.
So we go from this call your whatever shot battle royal thing into this. Now, I know that this Moose and EC3 thing was going to be like from a location. I thought they were just playing a video package to set up the match. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. The Depeche Mode music was fucking atrocious. I hated it. I hated everything about it. I know this is like kind of like the thing. I just didn't understand anything. And I guess like EC3 is like going to mentor Moose and have Moose tell his own story and be a champion. I don't know. I just think I would have rather seen these guys have like a fucking no holds barred match. Like, I just was not into it, man. All the people around the ring banging on the ring, and then they were going, Moose, Moose. Yeah. I don't know. So I just couldn't get into it.
So, Matt, what this did, this furthered two storylines. It furthered the storyline between Moose and EC3 and their new relationship that they're forging. And it also closed the storyline because we finally find out what happened to Raw Underground. It was shipped to TNA. So there we go. So all right. Raw Underground lives in Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I wasn't watching regularly during the week. Like, it literally, they just went. Like, there was no commentary. There was the weird music. And, like, every time someone got hit in the dick or the head, it seemed like the music would stop and then start again.
Yeah, well, you got it.
Grab his dick and twist it!
Yeah.
It was like, did they insert, like, a horn noise or, like, a car beeping? Or, like...
It was weird.
If you watch Impact every week, it's basically it made sense for that because it was this creepy little star, like Moose would see EC3 everywhere he went and this and that. So I didn't hate it.
Oh, Finn Balor, broken jaw, by the way, to add to the injury list. Thank you for
Karrion Kross and the dude Richard Holland. Ridge Holland with the ankle too.
Yes. Oh, speaking of injuries, as an aside, have you guys seen that fucking Jackaloon jumping off the Mud Show ring, fucking snapping both of his knees?
Yes.
Oh.
It's awful. It's fucking awful. All right, so from here, I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch, right? And now next is Eddie Edwards and Ken Shamrock. Ooh. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Oh, man.
Wait. Wasn't Ken Shamrock also inducted into the Impact Hall of Fame this weekend?
Yes, The Rock had some kind words to say.
How the fuck does that happen? How does that happen? How does Vince McMahon not lose his fucking mind over something like that?
Because WWE doesn't hate Impact. They work with Impact.
Wait, work with them?
Yeah. For footage? Like when they put together their AJ Styles documentaries or their Samoa Joe's documentries, they work with Impact to get that footage.
Didn't they send Christian to...
Oh, that was Dixie Carter administration.
That was to get Ric Flair for the Hall of Fame for the Horsemen or some nonsense.
Yeah.
So then they gave Christian for a pay-per-view shot or something.
Yeah, but they don't hate Impact. They don't care about Impact. So I have no, I don't think Vince McMahon cared at first. And even if he did care, what's he going to do about it?
And look,
Rock has him by the balls.
Shamrock in his Hall of Fame?
Well, he should be.
Yeah, he should be 100%.
Here's what happened. The Rock's not going to say
when the owl
flies into his yard with a big bag of money and just drops it. I'm the Anthem Owl. Here is your money. And then he flies away.
You think that's what happened?
Huh. What else do you use the owl for, Kevin?
I don't know.
He doesn't tell him. He's not fucking walking around fucking backstage telling you how many licks it takes to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop. He's fucking dropping off bags of money to ex-WWE guys.
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Yeah, so I think he was termed the world's most dangerous Hall of Famer.
Brilliant.
Josh Matthews and Don Callis on commentary suck. They fucking suck. And you know what else? Because I haven't been watching Impact, they need a fucking crowd. They need something. They need the piping noise. The silence is it's not good. It's not good. It doesn't help.
I think that's kind of what threw me off, even though it's so that's why it kind of felt like I was watching an episode of Impact or Unaccessed, which is tolerable, no crowd. I think it's fine, no crowd.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I cut you off. I forgot to even mention the fucking production gaffe when they went backstage, they were all doing the Halloween thing, right? And they're like, someone's like, everyone who's in the Call Your Shot, get out there. And then they cut, like, the camera, like, pans down and comes back up, and it's Keith and Rhino, and he starts his promo, and then he stops. They're like, no, we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet. And he just stops. And then they start it again.
I saw that. I thought that seemed planned.
I don't know. I was fucking dumbfounded by it. I'm like, what is going on here? Especially because it was the replay. So, like, I watched it yesterday at, like, 10 o'clock. Like, you could have fucking taken that out of the replay. No?
That's why I think it was that's why I think it was supposed to be there.
Yeah, but for what?
Comedic purposes? It's Heath and Rhino?
Yeah, but they weren't, like, laughing about it. They were, like, fucking stone-faced, serious as fuck, like, get ready to go in the zone. Keith's like, I'm going to pull this hernia, so get ready to go, brother.
Why do you keep calling him Keith?
I don't know. Yeah, why
do you call him Keith? Oh, baby.
I might be having a stroke. Matt Bowman, highest bidder.
Matt Bowman. Oh, baby.
Fucking Ken Shamrock and Eddie Edwards was, I can't with that. Look, Ken Shamrock is a national treasure. I love Ken Shamrock. He was fucking awesome in the Attitude Era. I don't know. This match was also not good. Yeah. I did not enjoy this match. I felt like coming out of this Moose EC3 thing, I don't know, man. I felt like this pay-per-view is now stuck in, like, second gear. And I don't know if it has anything to do with Smiley Kylie, because Tony's girl's a fucking psychopath and she can't get her head straight. I don't know what that story is. I don't know. They just this match was like, I was like, oh, my God, what is going on here? Kevin, thoughts about Eddie Edwards, Ken Shamrock? You with me? You against me? You're indifferent?
I'm with you. Leaning on, really with you.
And then Eddie, and then Sammy Callahan's Sammy. Involved, and Eddie Edwards loses. So we all took the fucking L there too.
Sammy.
I want to see a Davey Richards return.
You think the Rock was singing "You're Welcome" when they fucking dropped the money off in his yard?
Fuck yeah, he was dancing around like Moana. You're welcome.
Holy shit! Wait a minute.
You're welcome. What is-
a big fucking owl flying around.
Woo! You're welcome.
Have you guys seen Moana?
Oh my god. Yeah, I have parts of it. Isn't there like a stupid chicken in that movie too?
No, I don't know. I've never seen it, but I've heard it's really good. No, I've heard it's good. I've heard like even like adults like it.
Oh, Jesus. Man. God, baby Jesus, help us.
Whatever. Impact wasn't great. Bound for Glory wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
No. Okay, so we're on to the... Now, so, boom, we're like... All that's left is the title match now. Tag titles, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know how I felt about the taking Alex Shelley out of the equation thing, though.
Yeah, because now they're trying to work that as, like, he really got hurt.
Which I put out on Twitter immediately. I'm like, first of all, if you were really trying to sell that he got hurt, you wouldn't stand him up and fucking walk him out when he got slammed on his head and neck. You freaking morons. And then someone clapped back on Twitter, and I just shut him down and haven't heard back from him since.
Yeah, it was interesting. It looked good. It was like when Penta took out Chris Daniels on AEW, and I thought he was really hurt.
But looked like he could have gotten hurt.
Sure.
Like, I watched it a bunch of times, and it looked like he slapped his head right on that freaking...
It's very possible. It could have been a worked injury that turned into a shoot, but it was like everyone was there too quickly. I got to sneeze. Excuse me. Extra referees, security, like everyone's going bonkers. And then to Kevin's point, they stand him up.
Like, what the fuck?
It was ridiculous.
And someone tried to like mention like the comparison between like Alex Reynolds and Matt Hardy, like about how, well, yeah, I'm sure that the crack team at AEW, this and that. I'm like, listen, I'm sure people there were scrambling. This is part of the story. You don't stand up a guy if you're trying to sell that he's really, really hurt. It's never been done in the history of wrestling. Unless the guy's playing like the hero, like say like it's like Roman Reigns that he wants to he's getting carted off, but then gets up and walks off on his own. Neither one of those happened here. It no. wasn't, I'm playing the hero, and it wasn't like a real injury. It was, I'm selling an injury, and yet get him up, let's walk him off. Freaking neck, back, and head injury. Get him up. He'll be fine.
And if you listen to the promo that the Northcutt's in the middle of the pay-per-view, Ethan Page is like, we're going to hurt you. We're going to take our titles back. 94 days without our titles. Like, I think it's an angle. I know Shelley put it out on Twitter, like, his neck is hurt. He can't wrestle this weekend. But I think they just were like, we'll pay you for those bookings. Just pretend like you're really hurt so we can...
Part of me wonders why they even put the belts on Sabin and Shelley in the first place.
Operating, baby.
I mean, they were coming back. They came back at Slammiversary. That was huge news. Them against the North is not a bad match, and having them as the tag champs isn't a terrible thing.
But the money had been... I mean, at the time, it was Good Brothers and Austin and Fulton. But like the money had always been, I guess, in the North and the Good Brothers. So I don't. This little gap stop with Sabin and Shelley, I guess because their names, maybe. But I always thought that, now that we have the chance to, Good Brothers versus the North is the payoff, which we will get now. But it would always made me wonder why we had that little stopgap with the machine guns.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good point.
If the North were going to win this match.
I mean, maybe you give Austin and Fulton the rub, having them work a bunch with the Good Brothers.
Yeah.
The four-way was fun. It was good times. The North steal a win. And they become the two-time Impact Tag Team Champions. I didn't think this match was bad. It kind of breathed some life into the pay-per-view. Now, the next situation, this whole thing with Kylie Rae is fucking weird. Okay? Because she was in Nashville on Friday. She was at her hotel room, and then no one could get in contact with her Saturday. So we get this weird, like, they run the fucking promo package. Like, she's there, like, really weird. And then Deonna Purrazzo comes out and cuts a promo. Kimberly's dressed like fucking Frankenstein. I don't know what's going on with homegirl, but she's got a ixnay on the fucking eye makeup, homie. And then the Kylie Rae's music plays and she doesn't come out. So she cuts a promo and Sue Young comes out and does the Undead Bride. Now, I don't know. I don't know if is this a work? Is it a shoot? Some people say it's like a mental health thing. Like when she gets these giant opportunities, she just ghosts, which is why she left AEW. I know people think the Nyla stuff, but a lot of people have said that's not true. It's just maybe a mental health thing where she's not in a right state of mind and the pressure of being in the spotlight gets to her. I really don't know. She was there, but no one could get in contact with her. Is it part of the story? Because I know she had Susie with her. And then Deonna Purrazzo broke Susie's arm. Did Sue Young, the Undead Bride, kidnap Kylie Rae so she could get the title shot? They didn't really, like, even mention it. Like, the relationship with Susie, they were just like, Kylie Rae's not here. And that was it. So I thought that was really weird.
It all developed in Russell House, their relationship, Susie and Kylie Rae. And then it continued once Russell House ended. And they were always teasing the return of Sue Young. Because she would show signs of coming back. Now, the theory of possibly her kidnapping Kylie Rae is one that I never thought of until you just mentioned it right now. Did they mention that on the show?
They didn't. There's also a story going around that she was hurt, and she had been hurt for a couple weeks. So this was just like, we're not going to explain it, and then we'll fill it in on the back end.
I really like your idea that she kidnapped Kylie to get the shot. And I mean, this was eventually going to be like, I think I had Deonna to win this match. I don't know. I don't remember what you guys picked.
I think we all had Deonna across the board. Maybe not. I think I had Kylie. I don't know.
So that, like, I think the end game was always going to be Sue Young and Virtuosa. So the fact that this might play into it a little bit with the fact that maybe she kidnapped Kylie is fine. I think maybe just got there a little quicker than we expected it to.
Yeah, and that's my kidnap story is pure speculation. There's 100 things out there. She was hurt. She can't perform in the spotlight.
Wait, what do you mean she can't perform in the spotlight? Does she need Blue Chew?
You know what? That's a great question. I don't know if it works for women.
Does she need Manscaped?
You know what? I mean, I know it says Manscaped, but it essentially is a trimmer. I mean, if it's made for a man's genitalia, I'm sure it works on a lady's private parts. So maybe.
Does she need White Claw? What does she need to help her perform under the spotlight?
I don't know. It might be. I really don't know. The last report that I heard from Mr. Dave Meltzer.
Oh, your boy.
That's my source for news, the Wrestling Observer. That no one, let me see, the story went around that she was injured, but we were later told that was not the case. We have confirmed that no announcement was made because the company did not know the situation at the time. There's no communication. It is possible she was injured, but it's unknown what the situation is. Right now, all that is known is she was in Nashville ready to work Friday and did not come to the building on Saturday.
Well, then there's definitely cause for concern if Meltzer's report is accurate. Because
she's safe and alive. There's just no people. There's no one's blown the lid off of why she didn't show up Saturday.
All right. Now, this might be the most ignorant question that I've ever asked, especially because I'm a religious impact watcher. This show, I'm going to sound like a complete moron for asking this question, but in COVID, you never know, really. The show was live, right?
Yes, and I don't think you're a moron because I had Aunt Money and Kate the Great over last night to watch this, and the whole time we were like, why didn't they just take? Because some of the stuff with Heath, like him getting hurt, like no one knows if you don't go live, you don't go live. Like just fucking tape it and edit out all the bad shit.
Unless they don't have, that's ridiculous because they edit the crap out of there. They film like 30 hours of content every week.
Yeah, even though you have like a 3-hour block on Fight, just get everyone there Saturday morning, tape the fucking thing and fix it. So I don't know.
So I can't imagine, going back to the Kylie thing, how big of a spotlight is this show than an Impact taping? But then it's live, so that does add a little bit of the element to it. But she's done it before. She's worked AEW live.
Sure. Look, everyone's I don't know. I really don't know. There's so much speculation out there until we can... until the truth comes out, you know, maybe it happens tomorrow night on Impact. We get an update on Kylie. Who knows? But Su Yung beats Deonna Purrazzo in what a match that went a couple minutes longer than I thought it should have, in my opinion. Tony, I'm sorry we're boring you over there. You're falling asleep. You okay over there, big guy?
I didn't think we'd be doing 45 minutes on a fucking pay-per-view that we all shit the bed on, but no, continue.
Well, it was a full show. We watched it. Don't worry. We'll get to your stuff. And then the main event.
You can't go, oh, Tony, you're falling asleep. And then when I give you a snide comment back, get pissy at me.
I'm not pissy. No one's pissy.
If that's what you're fucking casting the line for, and then you reel in the big fish, you don't yell at the fish and call it stupid because you caught it.
Isn't the snide comment in itself getting pissy?
No, not at all. Fucking, we got a lot to talk about. We're talking about fucking, I don't know, a show that nobody really liked, I guess.
My Canadian flag just fell.
Uh-oh.
The North is going to be pissed at you.
Main event, Eric Young, Rich Swann. We have a brand new Impact champion. I don't know how I feel about this. I like the match. Rich Swann needs like a mouth guard or something because he was spitting and fucking drooling all over the place. It was fucking disgusting. I also think this is the first time a husband and wife are the holders of major championships in the same company.
Nope.
Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins.
By Valkyrie.
Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins.
Were they both? Right? They weren't married at the time, though. Were they?
Maybe they're not. Are they even married?
I don't know.
Ty Valkyrie and Johnny Mundo are.
Yeah. Johnny Mundo wasn't the world champion, though, when she was she? No. Was he he wasn't the world champ when he came back, was he?
Can we ask anyone in the hot mic chat room to check on this for us?
Or in the Discord, if you're in the Discord.
If you're in the Discord.
I thought it was a good match, told a great story. Again, I don't know, man. Rich Swann does not seem like Impact.
Ah, Triple H and Stephanie.
Were they married, though?
Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
I'm just going to say a bunch of wrestling couples who have been champions and... You know,
Macho Man and Elizabeth.
Elizabeth was never a wrestling champion.
Rick Martel and Sherry Martel.
I don't think there's any relation there.
Nope.
All right. So anyway, Kevin, Tony, you can even chime in on this. Do you see Rich Swann as world championship material, as someone who used to be championship material?
No. No, I don't think they should have taken it off of Eric Young at this point. I think Eric Young's got a great character. He's establishing it and as a fucking badass. And
yeah, but the story has been so well told and so drawn out that this is Bound for Glory. It's the babyface ending that, like, WrestleMania you always want to have for the most part. So I totally get it, and I totally saw it coming a mile away just by the story that has been so drawn out, so told week on a week-to-week basis. And Eric Young, who did Eric Young beat? Eddie Edwards, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better guy, despite how he was used in WWE. He was a main eventer in Impact before he left. So I guess it makes sense to try to elevate Rich Swann, but at the end of the day, is there anybody in Impact that you legit, other than maybe Eric Young, other than maybe Eddie Edwards, maybe Moose, EC3 if he sticks around, as a world champion? Like, they're trying to elevate people.
I understand, but Rich Swann is just, I don't know, man. Like, we saw them do, like, the Ultimate X thing when it was, like, Austin Aries and Chris Sabin as the champion. I don't know, man. Like, who's... So what now? Like, who are we going to get? Eric Young chasing Rich Swann? Are we going to get Ace Austin breaking off from Madman Fulton? Like, who's next now?
No, how about Madman? Like, Madman Fulton should be the one in the title picture. Like, and if I could, and this is just totally spitballing, I would flip Rohit and Rich Swann. Have Rich Swann compete for the X Division title and Rohit compete for the world title. Rohit has the character, has the size, has the in-ring ability to be a world champion. And this is going to be interesting now, because now you have, oh my God, the comparison is so ridiculous. Rhino, even though we'll get to Hell in a Cell, but the comparison between, like, Rhino and, like, 2020 and Otis as, like, your Money in the Bank type winners, two guys that you'd never expect in that. Like, now what does Rhino do?
I don't know. That's a great question. He's
going to call the shot with Heath when Heath is going to wait till Heath gets healthy.
I guess. I don't know. They got to pivot.
Does he try for one more kick at the can at the world title?
I don't know. There's just, like, I don't know, man. It's real. It'll be interesting to see the direction they go now. Is James Storm staying? Is that a permanent thing? Does Brian Myers go after Rich Swann?
Brian Myers, did you notice that Brian Myers is, like, the tallest guy in that match by, like, a foot and a half?
He looked great.
He's got the diesel push. He's got the cane push.
Five people.
I think it might have even been six.
Whoa. That changes everything.
That's right. But
yeah, and they're bringing back the Knockouts Tag Team Championships.
Which is good, because they have a lot of talent in that division and a lot of tag teams that could be put together.
Is there really a lot of women in Impact?
Fuck yeah, there are. There's a lot of them, dude.
Name 17.
Tasha Steeles.
Kiera Hogan.
Kiera Hogan.
Taya.
Rosemary.
No, wait. Yeah.
Tennille. Alicia. Jessica Havoc. Nevia.
Havoc. Nevia. All right, he's beating me.
Sue Young.
Kylie Rae. Sorry. Virtuosa. Kimberly
Virtuosa. Yeah, there's, like... We're just rattling them off. Madison Rain. She's, you know, who knows?
She's getting back in the ring.
Right.
13. We need women's tag titles for 13 women.
No, I'm sure there's more.
Dude, all you need is four for a program.
He's got a point in your face. And you're creating more opportunity for women. Maybe they have somebody from Canada they want to bring down. Maybe there's
they should bring that big woman from Alaska. Freya the Slayer, whatever her name was.
She's awesome, by the way.
Freya the Slayer?
Freya the Slayer.
Has she got any better since her fucking shot in the NWA?
I didn't even know she was in the NWA.
She wrestled Danny Jordan. Matt, what was that program called where they brought in the young people?
Oh, fuck. It was NWA. Shit.
But she did some stuff for WrestlePro. She's a really cool chick.
It wasn't Carny Land. It was...
Fuck!
And... Like the Truly Hard Seltzers. So she's aces with me.
Fuck.
Something choked the circle squared.
That was it.
Yeah,
she wrestled Danny Jordan, the fucking the Mean Girls chick.
So that was Impact in a nutshell, right there.
A nutshell? That was a whole fucking bag of peanuts. What the fuck are you talking about?
Two wins, baby. Two wins for KJG.
I threw up a good old goose egg.
Oh, you fucking threw up, all right.
That's the lead of the story that we buried. Matt.
All right, so now over 0 for 7. Now we jump over last night, WWE Hell in a Cell. They kept it tight. 6 matches. We didn't pick the Gulak and Ruth, R-Truth, Ruth.
Ruth.
Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth.
We didn't pick that match.
Keith Slater and Ruth. Keith fucking Slater. That's going to be my wrestling name when I come out of retirement.
People over there, what's up? If you feel me, stand up and say what's up. Hey, Ruth, hey, Ruth, hey, Ruth, hey, Ruth.
Well, Ruth beat Drew Gulak in the pre-show.
They're repackaging R-Truth as a Bulgarian, calling him Rufev.
The only match I didn't see was Elias at Jeff Hardy, but I saw the rest of the show. I went back and watched the Oos match today, this afternoon.
I caught the ending of Hardy and Elias. I mean, Elias won. That's all.
Oh, yeah, the disqualification, right?
Yeah, because, you know, whenever you hit somebody outside the ring with a weapon, that's a disqualification.
It's all up to the referee's discretion.
Oh, yeah, we found that out watching fucking Halloween Havoc, remember?
What are you flipping me off for?
I'm flipping off, I don't know.
Very ornery.
All right, so Tony, you had saw this Universal match that opened the show, Roman Reigns against Jay, for the Tribal Council. Someone's getting voted off Survivor. What's going on here?
Yeah, AKA the Universal Championship.
No, the Tribal Chief.
The Tribal Chief. Who is the Tribal Chief?
The Big Dog, baby.
Roman Reigns is the Tribal Chief.
The Universal Tribal Dog is Roman Reigns.
And if you didn't notice, if you didn't know that before, you would know after the match when.
So I'm doing my TikToks now.
All right, Tony.
Well, you don't have a TikTok, do you?
Yes, I do.
He doesn't have a TikTok. God, he has a TikTok.
No.
It's Shave Balls Tony on TikTok.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. Shave Balls Tony.
See, I thought the Tribal Chief would be fucking those inflated Wild Samoans that were there at the end of the match.
You mean deflated?
Jesus Christ.
You know what those were? Those were Bailey's old wacky inflatable two men that they dug out of storage and had to pump them
like
up.
Like the fucking Crypt Keepers they brought at the fucking Halloween store that was going out of business.
All right, let me ask you this. Who didn't want to be there less? Or who wanted to be there less? Greg Valentine or the Wild Samoans?
I think Greg Valentine wanted to be there. I think the Alpha and Sika just didn't know what the hell they were doing there. like Greg Valentine still has a clue. It didn't look like they had a clue.
Yeah, and I think they were just bringing Valentine some fucking like vodka tonics, and he was just fucking crushing them, just sitting in the seats.
God bless him.
Alpha and Sika, to Kevin's point.
I'm surprised, honestly,
Alpha and Sika.
Holders and Sanka, the Wild Samoans.
Called them Sinka.
Inka Dinka Sinka.
Oh, look, he was one of Columbus's ships that needed me to the Sinka.
He's one of the greatest tribal chiefs ever. Sinka.
Sinka.
Holy shit.
His nephew, make a difference, fat you.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Okay, so this story has been going well, right? Here's the thing.
In a nutshell, it's a great story. The match could have used a little more action for my liking. You can't do 90% story. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's a Hell in a Cell, right?
Yeah, and that was my big problem too. Like, it seemed like they weren't really using the structure. It was kind of like match.
I hate that cell. The big goofy red cell. I hate it.
And it's not only that, but like for the most part down the stretch, he was using the steps anyway. He wasn't even fucking using the cell. So what was the point? It's the problem with the gimmick dictating the pay-per-view and not the storyline dictating the gimmick. That's the problem, ultimately, at least in this situation. Now, you can argue later on that Bayley and Sasha Banks should have been in the cage. You can also make a very strong argument that Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton should have been in the cage as well. But when it came to this one, I don't think you needed it at all. What was the point?
Wait, you were talking like they weren't in the cage. I'm like, what show are you watching?
No. I think you have a point, because it wasn't essentially a no DQ match in the cage.
It was an I Quit match is what it was. Yeah. You didn't need a cage for that. You know?
That's
an I Quit match is a no DQ match to begin with.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, and when you're to Tony's point, like the last like couple 6-7 minutes fucking was
forever.
A drag, man. When he was like, just say you quit. And he fucking does the drive-by. Then he does the drive-by with the stairs. Then he can't throw the stairs in the ring. And then all the fucking producers are out there. And you go smash him. And then Jimmy comes down. And he's like, it's Josh. And then it's like, when you actually have to
use, I love that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I feel like from what we grew up on, like sometimes less dialogue and just the facial expressions and the actions tell a better story.
I agree with you, but the thing that might be lost is that they're legit family. So like when you have beef with like your family, you talk to them. You try to.
No, I get it. And look, the way the story was told was excellent for story purposes. There was nothing better than the way this played out with him getting the fucking the submission on Jimmy, and then Jay quits to save his brother. Beautiful, because Jay's all about family, you know? However, it could have moved it along a little bit to get there. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying a little too long on that end.
Five matches, 2 hours to fill, which is a whole other gripe I have altogether. What the fuck was I going to say? I got sidetracked with the whole 2 hours for a pay-per-view thing.
Kev,
it was 2 hours.
Because we got fucking T-Donk taking on fucking Bobby Lashley.
Have you guys noticed Roman Reigns' teeth?
Yeah, he got him redone. They're all pearly, aren't they?
I noticed he's really good at crying on command.
That was fucking great, dude. What a range that guy has.
That's
should be
impressive.
In the next fucking drive-by movie with The Rock.
Bro, for a couple things, because I haven't been watching the WWE, and then hopefully Kevin's thought comes back to him.
No, I think it was the teeth thing.
The Thunderdome they do an excellent job with it. You know, you go from watching Bound for Glory where there's no fans, and then you go over to Thunderdome. It looks great.
On the G.
And, you know, piping the sounds, whatever. Like when Roman Reigns comes out and there's that dumb, like, statue, like, CGI thing on the screen and people are fucking booing. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And to WWE's credit, like, I put it out on Twitter last night. I don't need to waste 5 hours a week watching your programming, because your recaps to all your feuds at the beginning of these matches save me fucking ample amounts of time.
God, such a great point. That's such a great point.
Because they really, I know they do such an amazing job of it.
They're literally driving people away from watching their shows with that, because you can just watch the recaps.
Well, look, Tony brought up fucking Retribution. I mean, why can't the WWE ever do a fucking invasion angle proper?
Thought about it.
And the fucking, these guys fucking suck. Fucking T-Bar, fucking Slapjack, fuck out of here.
Yeah, it was Slapnuts took on fucking Bobby Lashley. Fucking, and then they all tried to get in and they got chased off.
Yeah.
That's like, Shane Thorne, right? The guy that faced Bobby Lashley is Shane Thorne?
Yeah, he fucking sucks.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't, and obviously T-Bar doesn't.
Well, they put him in shitty situations. Shane Thorne spent half the match fixing his fucking match, his mask.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole angle's fucking shit. It's shit.
The only thing I can think to like justify why they did this angle was to make the Hurt Business better. Not better. That was a terrible word to use. But put them over more and make them more deadly. Here's this vicious group coming in to take over. Not on the Hurt Business's watch. So then they destroy them and you never see them again or something like that. Granted, it started off like something way more major than it is now. I just think that WWE doesn't know how to do invasion angles. They just don't. like going back from the original invasion angle. I just don't know how to do it. That NWO coming in, Nexus. The only thing they do is when one brand tries. The only thing they do well is when one brand tries to invade another brand. Those are the only things that are done well.
In fairness, the NWO just kind of like got away from them. I mean, you're talking about Hulk Hogan being turned babyface, by a raucous crowd. You're talking about Steve Austin, who was in a terrible place, who thought he was above wrestling Scott Hall at WrestleMania, dropping him down the card. You know, so there was a lot of other shit going. I don't even think Kevin Nash wrestled at that WrestleMania, right?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
So like you're in a weird situation when you try bringing back the NWO, where, arguably the bigger star of the two guys that weren't Hulk Hogan wasn't even on the show. You got Austin pissed off at all hell, working like three from the top. And then you've got the fucking crowd just completely going apeshit banana over fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but even in its origins, having Vince McMahon bring in the NWO is kind of like the same thing as signing Retribution to a contract.
Right. You have Retribution come in, they're destroying the WWE. Then you sign them to a contract, then you stick Ali with them.
I don't hate that.
No, but then you have Ali be the leader, and then 2 weeks later they're losing to the Hurt Business. Like, come on. Yeah.
I also didn't mind Vince bringing in the NWO because at that point in storyline, it was either Ric Flair or his kids. Weren't they stealing the company from him?
No, Ric Flair bought, he was like the consortium that absorbed.
Yeah. So Vince had a reason to destroy what he created. I mean, it made sense from a story standpoint, just that the execution wound up just going to shit. And I don't think it was necessarily the fault of anybody involved in that story. Just kind of the way it played out. Everything was just... Bizarro land.
All right, that's fine. Maybe that one got away from him, but it still has to be included in the pattern of things.
No, I get it. I mean, they fumbled and bumbled a lot of invasion shit, of course. I'm not arguing against that. I just think the NWO is probably on that lower end of the spectrum. But I digress. Yeah. What else happened on this pay-per-view? The women's match in the cage was fucking great. Thumbs up. Bayley and Sasha all day, or day. It's like the fucking Randy Orton and John Cena of the modern era.
Sink. That should be the name of Roman Reigns' new tribes, the Sinkas. Bayley, not a great artist. I thought that was a dick drawn on her chair.
Well,
that
1-0,
it looked like a ding dong. I'm just saying.
I tell you what, Bayley in her current fucking Karen incarnation, where she's like pissed off and needs to see the manager, fucking hot as hell, dude. Yeah. Aces.
She could have used a man to work that duct tape, though. She's had a little trouble there.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? Really? What was she going for?
I don't know.
That was like some backyard shit.
And I don't even think they even used the kendo sticks that were duct taped together, did they?
No, that was the point. And then you know what was cool though? Every time like Bayley was trying to go for a weapon, Sasha fucking got rid of it. Like she got the fucking kendo stick and she whoop right through the cage. She fucking got in the ring with the chair, whoop, throw it out under the cage. That was good shit, man. That was some good ass storytelling. I love that shit. The finish with the bank statement with the chair and she's fucking stomping on the chair. Fucking awesome. Awesome shit.
Yeah, a lot of meteoras. It was a really really good match and a well-told story.
Belly on the ladder with the fucking chair and everything. Holy shit, man. They can fucking go. Never let it be said that those two don't fucking deserve the spotlight all the time. Unbelievable.
Yeah, props to them. Sasha walked out the new champion.
Yes.
Miz and Otis. Tucker is the son of a bitch, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Bad guy.
You know what? The match was good for what it was, but that fucking finish was fire, dude. And let me tell you, it's fucking Zack Ryder all over again. The guy loses his fucking shot. He loses his girl. He loses his friend. He's just getting kicked in the balls constantly. What's left for him? Where does he go from here? But you know what? Who gives a fuck? This was a brilliant way to take that feel-good moment away from him and just fucking move on. I'm fine with it.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I really thought that Miz having the Money in the Bank briefcase was going to affect the main event.
Oh, you thought that was going to pull?
I was like, you know what? This is great. Ooh. If the Miz walked out of Hell in the Cell as the champion, I wouldn't have been upset. And I think Randy Orton walking out champion is not a bad thing either.
I didn't even think about that.
No, not bad at all. See, my problem was I really thought that Randy would have pulled that off last time at the last pay-per-view. And then when he didn't, I was kind of like, well, maybe they're just going to stick with Drew McIntyre. Maybe they're going to continue this, and he's just going to get up on Randy Orton. So this way, for the next challenger, he looks like a star. Thank you, Nelly. What did you think of the match? I want your opinions first.
Do you think, real quick, do you think that they took this off of him so they can, because this run hasn't been the greatest through no fault of Drew McIntyre's own. I think Randy Orton has been that good, and he just wasn't given a whole lot of stuff to do that because of the COVID era and all that and stuff. He wasn't programmed with the best. Like, I think he had a match with like Dolph Ziggler at a pay-per-view, I think.
I think when it comes to Drew, it's kind of 50-50. I did like the character when he was coming up, when he was getting angry and pissed off to get that shot. But he's like every virtuous babyface. Like, once you get to that point, it's like, where do you go from there?
Well,
you
know my thing is that I think that he gets the belt back at Mania this time, maybe in front of some people.
It's possible. I heard that going around too. And maybe this maybe this will give him a chance to reset, get that fire going again, and give him the WrestleMania that he should have gotten last year. Yeah. I'm on board with that. I have no problems with Randy Orton winning in this situation. Randy Orton's been on fucking fire again. Yeah. I've said it. I drafted him first overall. If you're starting a fucking wrestling federation, Randy Orton is not the fucking guy you want to skip out on if you've got that first pick, because he's a fucking star and he continues to be a star. Unbelievable. The match itself could have did without the whole climbing to the top and then climbing down the other side and then fucking Claymore going through a table. That was a big fucking that was a fucking time waster and a half. I don't think that spot.
Do you think it was just filler because they had to get to 10 o'clock or I mean, the match was it was good, but there were points where just like the Roman J, like it was like, all right, come on, let's go.
Yeah,
let's fucking
you
wrap
know,
this
and,
up.
And
people.
it took them forever to get up there. They fought a little bit. It took them forever to get back down. Then they were kind of getting in place and it was like, I don't know. A little too long for my liking, but great performances by both men aside from that spot. And the RKO to finish it, fucking poetry, dude.
It's awesome.
It was beautiful.
Awesome. So Survivor Series is up next. It looks like we're maybe getting something with The Fiend and The Miz from what I can see on Twitter right now. But they're going 30 years of The Undertaker, and I don't know. What... I can't watch a fucking... It can't be an Undertaker-themed pay-per-view, can it? Are they that?
I really hope not. I really hope not.
We're having three qualifying matches tonight to see who's on Team Raw for Survivor Series. It's Tony.
Oh, boy!
It's Tony's favorite time of the year.
Can I say it? Folks, Survivor Series 2020, it's time for Brand Supremacy! Fuck yeah! So I'm jacked up, dude. I'm fucking jazzed up, psyched up. I'm fucking ready for it, brother. Can we do picks now? I pick everybody's going to be a fucking winner at this show.
So you're getting AJ against Jeff Hardy tonight, Sheamus versus Matt Riddle, and Keith Lee against Elias. All the winners will be a part of the Raw team for Survivor Series. Now, there's no word yet as to if it'll be Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT like they did last year, but I would imagine so.
I hope not.
I hope so. That was good stuff last year.
No, some of it was good stuff, but it's tough when you have three different groups in constant fucking three-way matches all night long. It's really tough.
Yeah.
It's tough because it's the same strategy over and over. There's no variety. It's like having 8 singles matches for no championships. It's like,
Yeah, Survivor Series has become an afterthought for me. I mean, I enjoy the cool, like, you know, invasion warfare gang stuff, but the actual card, like I watched 87 and 88 back to back this weekend. Ah, so good.
Yeah,
just putting people together as like a team as opposed to just making it about something more than it needs to be.
Yeah, and on one side there's like 4 baby faces that have all had problems with one particular heel, and that motherfucker quits and he leaves. It's like fucking great storytelling.
Actually, the earlier ones, like 88, was so bizarre. Like you had like one team was Jake the Snake, Hacksaw, Tito Santana, which is fine, then like you had like Scott Casey. Like who does Scott Casey have beef with?
Well, but like, that was Noah. The problem with those earlier shows, because they were putting everybody on them. They were teams of five.
So I'm forgetting match, the fifth
you had at
one.
Least 10 guys. Tag matches, you had 20 guys, you know?
The fifth person may have been Beefcake, because I think Ron Bass was on the other team. Or I might be confusing the matches.
No.
But like, not like the Ultimate Warriors team was like Ultimate Warrior. Oh, it was Ultimate Warrior, Beefcake, Sam Houston, the Blue Blazer.
Sam Houston.
The Blue Blazer and Jumping Jim Brunzel post Killer B. So he's wearing his like tie-dye trunks.
Yeah, don't sleep on the tie-dye Jim Brunzel. That was some good shit.
God, he was such a loser.
Of course he was.
Like he was like, it was like pre-teaming with like Jim Powers on Saturday night or Superstars. Yeah, the teams were so random. It wasn't until like 89 where it started making sense. And then you get to like 90, 95, 96 again, and 97, and then it just stopped making sense again before it picked back up. Anyway, I digress. That was Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, that was Hell in a Cell. Look, WWE, maybe you're not into their weekly programming, but the pay-per-views, they're always pretty good. You know, you might get a stinker here or there, but for the most part, the pay-per-views are enjoyable. I'm not going to sit here and act like they're not good.
Yeah, and just like we said earlier about I would switch Rohit as X Division and Rich Swann as world champion, I would, like, if Raw could be 2 hours and pay-per-views can be 3 hours again, like, that'd be fantastic.
I thought
that, like, why am I, like, I'm paying for these. Why are they less than Raw? Like, why are they less time than Raw?
Because it's not a big pay-per-view?
Aren't they? Well, WrestleMania is the only one. Is SummerSlam still? I guess SummerSlam. Is Survivor Series still like that?
I'm sure Survivor's, yeah, I feel like it's going to be a three-hour affair.
But even, like, even when, like, the In-Your Houses went from being In-Your Houses to actual sub-pay-per-views, they were still always, like, 245, 250. I don't know. It just, I shouldn't be watching a TV show that has more time than a paper, quote-unquote pay-per-view.
No, fair
little,
enough.
Little pet peeve.
No, that's an excellent point. Why would you invest, you know? Tony, you said you watched a shitload of wrestling, too. We have a new NWA TV champion.
Ooh, don't put the cart before the horse. United Wrestling Network, once again, Primetime Live, episode 6. Another banger of an episode, but yes. Before we get to that news, I mean, the card was what it was. It was a lot of good shit. They had that girl from Brazil that was on fucking AEW Dark, I guess, like a while back. Forget what
it was. Ty Conti?
No, some other Brazilian chick. She came out and she was dancing and she had the fucking headdress on and everything. But that doesn't matter, Kev. The main points I want to get at, we got the tournament brackets for the United Wrestling Network's first ever world champion to be crowned.
Right.
We got some fucking doozies, right? Eric Redbeard, Johnny Redbeard's older brother, is taking on Watts in the first round. Chris Dickinson takes on Peter Avalon, the librarian. Carl Fredericks takes on Fred Rosser. Yes, it is Rosser. And Davey Boy Smith Jr. takes on Mike Bennett. And this week, this Tuesday, tomorrow, we start off with Chris Dickinson versus Peter Avalon. That's a hell of a fucking tournament right there. They got some beef in that fucking thing.
That's pretty good.
Early predictions? I think Chris Dickinson's winning this fucking thing. I think he's winning it. Call me crazy. I know Mike Bennett's over there, and I know there's quite a few names on there, but
I'll take your word for it.
Let's go. But the big news. Let's go ahead, Dickinson and Fredericks in the finals.
You think Fredericks?
I do.
You don't think Mike Bennett makes the finals?
No, I think Carl Fredericks and Chris Dickinson in the finals.
What about Davey Boy Jr.? He's got to promote the shows.
Nah, he's out. He's losing to Mike Bennett in the first round. Mike Bennett's going to lose to Carl Fredericks in the second round. Fred Rozier can kick rocks. Watts,
Redbeard or Watts?
Watts is going to beat Redbeard. Dickinson's going to beat Avalon. Dickinson beats Watts. Dickinson for Fredrickson. Fredericks. I'm just making up people now. Just making up people. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Tony. I like Dickinson to be the UWN champion.
And the way they've been building him too the past couple of weeks, he comes out, he cuts these fucking scathing promos, like nobody's giving him opportunities, so he's gonna start taking them, and he keeps fucking calling out what the hell's his name? I can't even think of Dave Marquez talking shit to him. So it's gonna be interesting. The most interesting and probably greatest wrestling spectacular of the week was Zicky Deice defending the NWA World Television Championship against the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro. This was fucking amazing. 100,000 million percent balls to the wall. It had story. It had passion. It had anger. It had a fucking pre-match beatdown. It had him fucking calling him a yellow banana sack of shit. It was fucking beautiful. Fucking Zicky Dice called out Billy Corgan, told him the only people that give a shit about him are fucking middle-aged women and the fucking people that fucking paid for his first album, which was dog shit. Fucking brilliant. Puts the beat down on the Pope before the match, telling everybody there's no title match because I'm not fucking defending the title tonight. Going, I'm taking the belt with me when my contract's up at the end of the year. Beautiful shit. The Pope finally manages to get to his feet. And he's like, all right, you really want to do this? We're going to do this. And for 6 minutes, just about 6 minutes, it was about 20 seconds left in the match. These guys had a fucking great match. Zicky Dice was doing silly shit. He goes to drop an elbow. He misses. Goes to drop an elbow. He misses. Goes for the third one. Then when the Pope moves, he goes, ha ha, gotcha. And when he dropped it, the Pope moved anyway. Fucking genius shit. And the fucking win comes where Zicky Dice gets whipped into the corner, catches the double knees in the back. 1, 2, 3. It's all over. And the Pope, unfortunately, wins the fucking worst looking bootleg fucking wrestling belt I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you guys caught the pictures of the Pope afterward with the title. From what I read, Dave Lagana, who, you know, is late of the NWA at this point, was friends with Dave Milliken. And Dave Milliken has a fucking actual replica of the NWA TV belt. And that was the belt that they were using on NWA Power. And unfortunately, when the Dave Lagana deal all fucking fell apart, the belt went along with them. So they got this fucking thing where you could see in the video, the plates weren't exactly right. The backing was falling off. It's kind of disappointing, but the Pope cuts a fucking killer promo. It was so reminiscent of fucking Hard Times, talking about COVID and how people were looking for inspiration and shit. Beautiful. 1,000%. If you watch anything this past week, and I'm talking anything, find that match and watch it. It was fucking the greatest fucking 15 minutes all week.
Yeah, with the Pope. Pope's hands down. Pope's a hell of a promo. And
He really is. Genius.
And speaking of Zicky Dice, shout out to the newlywed Zicky Dice who got married this weekend.
Yeah, so it wasn't all bad news for the Zickster right there.
So congratulations to Zicky Dice on the
you saw the picture of his wedding party, right? All the fucking like mods of like him and his guys.
The one that I sent you?
No, well that it was out there. He put it on Twitter.
Oh. He got all his groomsmen custom LJN figures.
That was pretty sweet. I wish I would have thought of that fucking 20 years ago, but whatever. Anyway, that was UWN. Check it out in a nutshell. And
Tony, I'm going to have to disagree with you. If you watch one thing this week, I don't know if Matt has plans on going somewhere else. I think we went an hour and 18 minutes without talking about Chris Jericho and MJF. If you watch one thing, Matt, I know I just sprung this on you. If you watch one thing this week, you got to watch. What is it called? The Dinner Le Debonair, whatever it's called?
You know what?
Yes, Dinner Debonair.
I'll give it to you. It was up there. Look, this week had tons of fucking great moments. Tons of great moments. Tons of great wrestling.
Oh, you got to watch this. Oh. So good.
I tell you, Wednesday night, right from, you know, I go from watching the show right to doing the post show. I didn't like it.
I heard. I'm kind of surprised.
And then, you know, you see it again Thursday. You see it Friday. And you're like, God damn. I could not have been more wrong. This was excellent. You know what? It's fun to go right from watching the show into doing a post show because you're emotional. You're fucking fired up. I mean, you do it when you tweet Impact, Kevin, which you fucking slay every Tuesday night.
I Freya the Slayer.
You Freya the Slayer.
That's right.
From the Squared Circle with Cinca.
That's right.
Cinca and Keith Slater.
Circle Squared.
Wow, we might have to start worrying about you.
It ain't ballerina, baby. I could be having a fucking stroke. I have no idea.
Listen, I'm with you. I find myself leaving words out of text sometimes. Like, it's weird.
This was excellent. This Dinner Debonair, recant my statement
recant
from Wednesday night. I thoroughly, going back and watching it several times now, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. We also would have accepted withdraw and retract.
Like the Manscaped shaving my balls.
There you go.
I redacted. Yeah. Can I redact?
That's
redact
what I meant
the hairs
to say.
On my balls with my Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0.
Yes. This was excellent. Good point, Kevin. This segment was very funny. All to find out that they're just going to have a town hall meeting this Wednesday night on Dynamite to see if, I guess, MJF is worthy of being in the inner circle.
So good. I'm looking forward to this, too.
Yeah.
I think everything that WWE does with their skits, even though AEW claims to be everything that they're not, if you do your skits well, you're okay in my book. Just saying. Like, I think that Law and Otis will pale in comparison to whatever Chris Jericho and MJF have ready for this. So, all right, T-Donk, I'm sorry I'm boring you by talking to, you know, the most popular wrestling show of the week.
T-Donk's going to come in hot.
Penta and Phoenix was amazing. It's a shame that fucking Phoenix wound up getting hurt in this match because it would have been a fucking killer for him to go to the second round.
Yeah, but you can't not, you know, it's not like you're getting a lesser opponent against Kenny Omega here. I mean, come on.
No, but still, like you talked about, I'm a fucking big Phoenix mark, so it would have been cool, but, you know, unfortunately.
Let me ask you a question, old man Tony.
Oh, yeah.
Who's got the bigger – is your Phoenix – is your Phoenix –
start that question over?
No. Is your Phoenix boner bigger than KTG's Eddie Kingston boner? And if you have a sword fight, who would win?
I don't want to have a sword fight.
Why?
I mean, I like Phoenix. I'm not fucking like fucking dick touching with people to fucking prove it.
You don't want to play pee-pee touch?
No, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Wait, I mean, who does T-Donk have a donk for?
Phoenix. He's big Phoenix guy.
Ah, big Phoenix guy.
Big Phoenix.
All right. More than Penta?
Yeah, I like Phoenix more.
See, I think Penta has world champion, no matter where he goes, written all over him.
Nah, Phoenix does.
No, he doesn't.
Phoenix is the next AEW champion. Write it down.
Really?
No.
Nah, come on. We all know where this is going.
All right, Tony, talk to us. I'm sure you're all fired up about Dynamite. Let's go.
Well, I liked I'm happy the way the Kenny Omega Sunny Kiss match worked out. Although I did notice it, and I didn't want to bring it up because I felt like I was being a negative Nancy in the Discord. Sonny's just got to fucking take a hit, dude. He fucking, like, panicked when Omega was coming at him with the knee. Like, completely was moving before Kenny was even there. It's like, come on, man. You're on TV now. This is the big time. Fucking knee's coming at you. Take the fucking knee. Don't duck. Don't move out of the way. Just fucking take it. What else happened? Fucking cowboy shit. Who did he wrestle?
He wrestled Colt Cabana.
Good match. Colt Cabana showing some fire, but fuck him because fucking cowboy shit. Cowboy shit needs to have some sort of storyline where he gets to AA, cleans himself up, and just fucking beats the shit out of everybody. Starts doing that cowboy shit again.
Why can't the storyline be that Adam Page still thinks he's in a tag team with Kenny Omega and Kenny
Omega?
I'm
tired of the jilted lover shit, dude. I'm tired of it. Just fucking knock it off. Stop it. No. Not everybody can fill Kota Ibushi's shoes. Sorry.
Fucking you and your fuck boy. Get out of
here. What other matches in the tournament? I'm forgetting.
Wardlow, Jungle Boy.
Wardlow, yes. You know what?
What?
Wardlow hit the fucking DDT on the ramp. He doesn't, or whatever his fucking finisher was, the F10. He doesn't need to hit another one in the ring. Shit can him and pin him. It's over. Fuck him. Jungle Boy lost. Actually, it was a good match for a little man, big man match. Impressed more and more by Jungle Boy every week. Good. Now that Kevin's gone, let's talk about him. He's such a dick, isn't he?
Wow. Really? He's going in hot. Right.
We're gonna this
AEW hot shit right here. I mean, if you really want to piss people off, talk about your disdain for Orange Cassidy.
Oh, wait, what happened with him? I forgot. Is he the fucking interview where he said he was in Cleveland? Fuck that guy. Fuck him. What happened with him? They were like, you're getting a title match, and he didn't care. You know what they should do? They should forget to write stories for him for 6 months and go, sorry.
But that's his gimmick. Tony, he's too cool for the room.
Everybody should just treat him the way he treats everyone else, and then maybe he'll fucking wisen up. Because he's a dick.
You think Orange Cassidy is a dick?
He's a dick.
Really?
He is a dick.
KTG in the hot mic. Fuck Tony.
No, fuck you, Kate.
Wow.
Orange Cassidy's a dick.
I love it when it's succinct to the point with just two words. Fuck Tony.
He's a dick. Don't like him. Fuck him.
What the? What
and
is
fuck
it?
Stevie with his fucking dumb video game machine. And fuck Miro and fuck them all.
Wow. Really? How do you feel about the
I need Miralax to fucking get over what Miro does.
How do you feel about the four-way tag? Oh, that was, if you're not on the hot mic, that was a hard eye roll.
Mike. Here's my ultimate problem with the storyline, succinctly as possible. There was no reason for the Young Bucks to go heel when you have perfectly fine heel tag team champions that they're chasing. No reason whatsoever. Because now they're getting beat up and smacked from behind by Tully Blanchard in his fucking disguise with a chair. And we're supposed to feel bad for them? They're dicks. They super kicked Alex Marvez. They beat up Tony Schiavone. They broke his phone. Why do we fucking care that they're getting their asses kicked? Are you trying to turn FTR de facto face? Like, is this what we're doing? It just makes no sense. They should have let the fucking Bucks run this angle out, be in faces, and then fucking do whatever you want with them after the fact. It's just very confusing. It really makes no sense. FTR's fine on the fucking heel side. They're fucking heels. Let them be the heels and let them fucking run with it. That's my problem with this.
All right.
With the fucking rankings, for Christ's sakes. Enough. Just get rid of them. Tony Khan should come out Wednesday night and just go, listen, we tried. We fucked up. There will be no more rankings. You will earn your championship matches as we see fit. And that's that. If we want to have 40 guys in a battle royal and the guy that wins the battle royal wins the fucking title match, then so be it. We've been doing it for a year anyway. Might as well just cop to it. Get rid of the fucking rankings. They make no sense.
You make no sense.
Who was in that tag fucking four-way that was even ranked? Who was in there that was ranked? Who was ranked? Were the best friends in the match?
First, you're going to have to remind me who was actually in the match.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't remember.
I want to say the Butcher and the Blade, the Young Bucks, are ranked.
Wait, Butcher and the Blade are ranked?
I'm going to pull up the rankings. Give me just a moment, please, sir.
Dun, dun, dun,
oh, let's do it. You know what? Let's see. Let's see if I can do it too. All right. You beat me, you son of a bitch.
Let's see. Young Bucks, Butcher and the Blade are ranked fourth. Young Bucks are ranked one. Those are the only two ranked teams that were in.
Who else was in this match?
Silver and Reynolds.
Oh, Private Party.
Yes, Private Party. Thank you. Sorry.
Well, fuck me sideways.
Yeah.
So, wait, who is the number one contenders?
The number one contenders are the Young Bucks.
Why?
Hold on. No.
They won the tag team nonsense 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where they teamed up with the guys that they beat the next week. And then they're the number one contenders and they have to win the title match?
The rankings, just because you're ranked number one does not mean you are the number one contender. It's never been put out there. I understand the rankings are very muddy and confusing. It's pro wrestling. It's what every ranking system is. It's not necessarily meant to be the barometer to tell you, like, the number one ranked team is your number one contenders. They just have...
That makes you realize what you just said is fucking idiotic on like five different levels.
Now, we've talked about this before. We've had this discussion where,
and I'll say it again, it's idiotic on at least five different levels.
How can you be
even when I played pro wrestling as a kid, when I was the number one ranked wrestler, I wrestled King Slender for the title. They didn't fucking put me in there with the giant Puma to fucking defend my fucking number one ranking. No, I became number one. Fucking Punch Out, for Christ's sakes. Little Mac, he's going to fight fucking Bald Bull. No, he's not. We're going to put him in there against Glass Joe again. Fuck all. That's not how it works. It's not how that's any big, of it works.
That's a big Puma to you.
Otherwise, the two he is.
How are QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes still ranked?
They're 8-2, Kevin.
Yeah, but when was the last time they had a match on AEW Dynamite?
Dynamite has probably been a couple weeks.
They're on Dark regularly?
Yeah, they're regulars on Dark.
They shouldn't count that.
It counts.
You shouldn't count any of it. It doesn't make sense.
All right.
All right, we got more shit to talk about. Come on.
You have a lot of stuff to talk about.
You guys want to hear more in-depth stuff, listen to the guys fucking kiss each other's asses on Wednesday, and then fucking poor Matt have to take the side of the bad guy and fucking convince the other guys on the show, you know, this wasn't that great. Fuck you, AEW rules. They're going to fucking hate
me.
Holy shit, they're going to hate me. I don't care. Bring it on, bitches. If you can explain to me the rankings on Wednesday, you'll turn on me. But in the meantime, forget it.
All right. Old man Tony's fired up, to be
fair.
And
I was happy with a lot of the AEW Dynamite show this week. There was a lot of great shit on there.
To be fair, Tony, Kate does agree with you with the rankings. Not so much in the Orange Cassidy hate, but...
I always knew she was smart. She's not completely smart like I am, but she's smart.
NXT also happened Wednesday night, and they brought back fucking Pat McAfee.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
Good.
I want to see that. No, it's fine. I knew it happened. I just want to watch it.
Pat McAfee helped Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch win the tag titles. I think this was supposed to be. I fucking hate Pat McAfee. I like that they won the tag titles. I just hate Pat McAfee. I fucking hate Pat McAfee.
I love that they're trying. And if he wants to be in the business, and if he really wants to try and do some stuff and make a name for himself and work at it and actually really, really try, I got no problem with it whatsoever. Because the guy's got a mouth on him. So if he's a mouthpiece for them, no problem with it whatsoever. None.
I think this was rushed. I think this was Ridge Holland. And then he fucked himself up. So I think at the end of the storyline, right? I think Ridge Holland would have helped them win the NXT tag titles. And I think they would have disrupted the Undisputed Era until, you know, the big reveal is the guy who paid off Ridge Holland to attack Adam Cole and who paid Ridge Holland, right, was Pat McAfee. Because, Pat McAfee. Like, right after that match with Adam Cole, like, he was on ESPN. He was like, I'm done. My in-ring career is done. Like, I'm not doing anything, you know. But, of course, Ridge Holland got hurt, so they pivoted. I get it. I just don't like Pat McAfee. Yeah. But it fits the story. But the big... big thing is NXT this week. Halloween Havoc's coming back. Dexter Lumis, Cameron Grimes in a Haunted House of Terror match.
Ooh.
Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, spin the wheel, make the deal. Damian Priest, Johnny Gargano, spin the wheel, make the deal. So these are the things on the wheel.
All right.
Coal Miner's glove match on a pole. A blindfold match. A casket match, a chamber of horrors, a biker's chain match, a buried alive match, a devil's playground match, a boiler room brawl, Shotzi's choice, because Shotzi Blackheart, she is hosting.
Matt, is there anything on this wheel that low life Louie would appreciate?
No, there is no dildo matches on here. There's it could be a weapons wild match, or a trick or street fight, or this might be my favorite, a TLS match. Tables, ladders, and scares. love the spin the wheel, make the deal. Don't like some of these matches. They're just cheesy names. I get it. All right? But just like make a fucking barbed wire cage match. Why do you have to give them all these fucking cheese dick names?
Yeah, your NXT, you're the counter culture of what's happening on Mondays and Fridays. Just call it like it is, like you've always done.
So, that was that. Let's see. It looks like the WWE will be at the Thunderdome until after Survivor Series, and then we'll find out what happens there.
I could see them letting people back in places.
Well, the Orange County Department of Health has said that the WWE Performance Center, Full Sail, and the Amway Center, they are all...
Hotspots.
Yes, hotspots. They're under investigation because it seems like everybody was getting COVID there. Ben Carter signed a WWF contract. Good for him. Chad Gable is no longer Shorty G. He quit the name. He's now back to Chad Gable, I guess.
I thought he quit the company. I thought that I saw that.
No, he said he quit, and then they caught up with him backstage, and he said he quit the name Shorty G.
Oh, good for him.
That's a thing.
If Jason Jordan is healthy, bring him back, and let's reunite American Alpha, baby. But Jason Jordan's probably not healthy.
Let's see. We talked Impact Wrestling. Deonna Purrazzo and Rohit have signed long-term contracts there. We talked to NWA, UWN. New Japan has announced all their cards for the Road to Power Struggle shows with Kanemaru and Ibushi defending their IWGP Junior Heavyweight titles against Hiromu and Bushi as the main event on November 1st and the six-man titles. The IWGP tag titles as Zack Sabre and Tai Chi defend against Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. That's November 2nd. And it's reported that Ring of Honor has no role for Marty Scurll. He is not involved in the company at the current moment. So that is all the news and notes I have here. Do you want to take a quick break before we do Halloween Havoc 91? The Matt's top five list. I stole Kevin Gimmick this week. And can you beat that? Do you want to take a quick break, Tony Z?
We could do that.
All right, let's take a break. Let's pay the bills. I got to take a piss, and I got to grab an adult beverage. And when we come back, people, that's what you all been waiting for. We're going to do some Halloween Havoc 91. We're going to top five lists. We're going to do games and much more. Tony, you okay over there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, you're like a Ryan Van Dammen over there.
He's not fine.
Back after this. We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. The more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
All right, I guess we're back. We were all downstairs. We're getting drinks. The commercials are over. And I don't know how long there was dead air for. But, yeah, I had to run. Running scared over here. So we're going to take this time to thank those that support us over on our Patreon. Let me just pull up some music here. I literally ran. Oh, boy. Oh. Kevin, how are you? There was dead air. There was a good amount of dead air because all of us walked away.
Yeah, I had a little bit more than a pee break, so I had to.
Tony, there was some dead air. We got
okay.
What?
All right. What do you got going on there, Tony?
It's Halloween, baby. I'm getting in the mood.
Did you change your shirt? So why would you take off the Halloween shirt?
Because I got the glow going.
Ooh. He's got the glow. I like this.
Actually, hold on. I can get this. Keep going.
I am. I'm just catching my breath. Let's take this time to thank those that support Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're going to thank Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. We're going to thank Manny Crazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. That's Elementary Brewing and Brewery.
Brewing.
In Hackensack, New Jersey. Elementary.com. Sean Toe, Sean Callejo. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler over at ondeckic.com. If you need something promoted, go over to katethegreat.com or ondeckic.com. Check her out. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the Kate, JG. Maddie Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls. Mark Parloni, happy birthday, Mark. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinks More. Jay Kopp, Big Kopp of Pump over at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Check those guys out every Friday night. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock. Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, TJ Vegas, and last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Wait. Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean? Had to unmute for a second there.
I know what you mean, Kevin.
Bedlam, baby. It's bedlam.
You know what else is bedlam?
Oh, tell me.
My balls.
Ooh.
It's a disaster down there. It's a fucking mess. All right? It looks like I got Cinca in a headlock with my legs. It's all wispy and it's all gross. It's matted.
Ligamables.
Starting to get the grays.
Ew.
There's got to be something you can do about that, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be something you have been doing about that.
I went over to manscaped.com.
Oh, look at you.
You know, I perused the website. Very easy to navigate. And I found the lawnmower 3.0. This motherfucker, let me tell you. All right? It's got skin-safe technology. It's got battery that lasts you 90 minutes. Sleek charging station. You put it right next to your toothbrush. It's not this big, hunky piece of shit that just sits. What?
Please don't brush your teeth with the lawnmower 3.0.
No, it sits on your vanity, though. It's nice. The ladies come in. They go, oh, this guy takes care of his balls. You fire up the Manscaped 3.0. All right? 7,000 RPMs on the lawnmower. Oh. You trim your fucking awful balls, right?
Fucking digging a ditch or trimming your nuts?
I'm going fast, bro. We don't have time. The ladies are coming over. You got to get them balls clean, bro.
Ladies?
Yeah. And guess what? You don't have to fucking shave your balls and then take a shower. You take the lawnmower 3.0 in the shower with you. It's water resistant. Shave your balls in the shower.
But Matt, what if the power goes out while you're in the shower? Whatever will you do?
No worries. You have a pickle chip? Horseradish pickle chip. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You eat them in the shower, too. They're pickled.
That's right.
Pickled it.
It's got a light, bro. It's got a little light right on there. You got to shave your balls in the dark. You hit the switch. Boom. It lights LED up like light. It lights up like a Christmas tree.
Ah.
It's a little light of mine.
Then you gently, right? You just shave your balls. Then you get out of the shower.
Gently.
You throw some of that ball refresher on there. Air dry that son of a bitch. A little ball deodorant. Boom. They're good to go.
Oh, yeah.
Your
fresh
balls,
and clean, baby.
Your balls will thank you. You will get a thank you card in the mail from your balls.
That's right.
If you just go over to Manscaped.
I don't know if my balls can write.
Oh, your balls can write.
They'll be so excited to learn.
You just go over to manscaped.com. You throw in the code WIZARDS at checkout. You save 20% and you get free shipping.
Oh, yeah. And guys, trust me, man. Your lady will thank you. Because when you got clean balls, remember, they're in her court.
You can't beat it. Manscaped.com. Code word WIZARDS. 20% checkout. Free shipping.
Beautiful. And then listen, I'll tell you right now, it's not just good for that area. You can use it on the old chest. Could use it on the anywhere you need to, man. I when I first got it, I actually used it on my face before I elevated to the next level. Now I can't go back, but now I can't go back. But it's
Awesome. You change the blade every 3 months. You get
that's true. If you subscribe, subscribe to the perfect package, you get a replaceable blade, I believe. So that's great. Oh, what a wonderful product! What a wonderful product! Love it.
Not to mention
the skivvies that you get too, the merch. Oh, tremendous merch! I'm wearing it right now. Manscaped Mondays, baby.
Fuck yeah!
I can't beat it. I wore mine backwards for half a day.
How'd that work out for you?
You know what? I didn't have a fucking swamp ass, so I guess it worked out good.
Yeah, coming from a boxer guy, man, not bad at all. Beautiful.
Really starting to annoy my fucking head.
Yeah, I don't know what are you? What are you, Tatanka? What are you doing over there?
I was trying to do something cool for Halloween because I got the black light on and everything.
I literally thought that was the black light.
What, on my eyes?
I just thought that was light. I didn't realize that was paint.
Ooh, I'm gonna do something cool for Halloween. Talk amongst yourselves. Get my top five list music ready.
Oh, get it.
Get it.
Listen.
Ready? Like it's right here.
Have it queued because Matt's gonna come in hot with his top five. I'm very intrigued because he was very adamant about doing a top five this week. So who am I to stand in the way of a genius at work here?
What are you talking about? You stand in everybody's way when they try to do your gimmick.
No, I don't. Who's ever tried before?
You've suggested before, but you're like, that's my thing. And then
you got
mad when it was like somebody else is going to come up with questions for my thing, and you were like, but that's Tony's thing.
Well, I feel like consistency is key, but I also understand that.
Okay.
Complacency is not. So, yeah, switch it up every now and then. And plus, I didn't have a topic yet when he asked, so.
This pain is really
so it was all good. So that go
Are
for
we
it.
Even covering Halloween Havoc tonight? I feel like this show is gonna fucking not end till like 11 o'clock again, and we didn't have a guest.
Should we save that? I don't know. I mean, I'm not steering the ship. I'm just filibustering.
I mean, I could save my game. My game doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess we can do that because I know Matt's dead set on talking about Halloween Havoc, which yeah, I watched. I watched it too, so it was great. What the? Are you leading Retribution?
No, he's Glacier.
I'll tell you what. I'm very disappointed that I have this fucking Glacier mask doesn't fit my fat head.
What a dick.
Well, blood runs cold.
It was in the pro wrestling crate I got, and I said, oh my God, I can wear this mask here, but it doesn't fit my big stupid head, so disregard. Hit me with that top five music, baby. Let's go.
We just went through it. I fucking lost
it. Oh, okay. Here we go. I took over Kevin's list this week. I'm very excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
Top five. We're going with our theme tonight, Halloween Havoc. Top five worst Halloween Havoc matches or moments. This should be a layup for you guys. And, Kevin, you don't ever get to play this game, so I'm excited about this for you, buddy.
Are we going to spoil something that we're going to be talking about in a little bit?
I don't necessarily think it's a spoil, Kevin.
All right. Well, then Chamber of Horrors match has to be on there.
Kevin, you are correct. Chamber of Horrors comes in at number two on Matt's top five worst moments in WCW Halloween Havoc history/matches. Tony Z, what do you got for me?
I would have to wager a guess that the Coal Miner's Glove match is number one.
Tony, you are not right. The Coal Miner's Glove is number five. It is on the list, but it's not number one.
All right. See, I got to remember there's a time in 95. That Halloween Havoc was when was the cage match with Hogan and Flair at a Halloween Havoc where the masked man revealed himself to be Brutus Beefcake. That was a Halloween Havoc.
I think so. I look like I'm wearing fucking rouge now.
I believe that was 94, and that did not make the list, Kevin.
Ah, crazy.
Tony.
Let's see. I mean, 96 was Hogan Savage when Piper showed up. That can't be on there.
Oh, fucking Doug Summers versus Van Hammer.
That's no.
No, that is not on the list. You guys are missing. Should have been. You're missing two very obvious ones and one that I think Kevin might
have. God, Ole Anderson's Dark Scorpion.
No, Dark Scorpion did not make the list. Black Scorpion.
Was that but that was a Halloween Havoc though, right?
Yep.
Yes, but that did not make the list.
WCW Phantom?
Not, we can't just throw out 1991 ones just because it's
that's awesome. All I know.
No, it's not. You come on, you're missing a very fucking obvious one.
97. Is there a monster truck gimmick?
Ding.
Yes, Kevin. The giant gets thrown off of Cobo Hall at the 1995 Halloween Havoc is the number one worst moment because he comes back and he beats Hollywood Hogan for the fucking WCW Heavyweight Championship later in the night.
Wait, the Yeti?
No, that was World War III.
The Yeti did not make the list, sir.
Was he there? Was that at Halloween Havoc though?
It was. I think it was 90.
95.
It was that same match, wasn't it?
I think so. Yes.
That's got Matt. I'm sorry, man. That is the worst thing in the history of not only Halloween Havoc, maybe WCW.
You're missing two. They're both matches. One is from 98 and one is from 2000.
Oh, Ultimate Warrior Hogan.
Ultimate Warrior Hogan comes in at number three.
And what was the other year?
2000.
Goldberg against Chronic.
No.
Was it something on a pole match?
It was a David Flair against Buff Bagwell in a DNA match.
Oh God, that was Halloween Havoc.
Oh, I would have never guessed that. Never even remembered that. So did we get them all?
You got Giant throws gets thrown off of Cobo Hall number one, Chamber of Horrors number two, Warrior Hogan number three, DNA match number four, Coal Miner's Glove number five. I also did the top five best matches, but we're gonna move on because we are running out of time. So that list was part of the reason why I want to talk about Halloween Havoc 1991. And Tony was watching both last night. So Halloween Havoc 1991 from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Let's do it, boys. Let's talk about a little. Let's see. What do we got here? I got something queued 11 up here.
11 matches.
And I said that I remember this show really well, but I did not remember that the Chamber of Horrors match opened.
Oh, yeah, it had to. That's what they did a lot of times with these gimmick matches. If you remember Great American Bash 91, they opened with the fucking scaffold match. With PN News and Bobby Eaton and fucking Steve Austin.
Eaton?
Dog shit. Absolute dog shit.
Well, Bobby Eaton was on this show, too.
He was.
No, Bobby Eaton is not dog shit. Don't fucking get that twisted. He had a nice little match there with Terrence Taylor from the York Foundation.
Oh, God. The fucking... What was he? The computer? The computer-made man? The tailor-made man, right? Was that different? Yeah, tailor-made.
No, he was the tailor-made man, and somebody else was IRS. Was the computer man of the '90s, or maybe it was the tailor-made man of the '90s?
No, because Francine. Terry Runnels had the computer telling him what to do in his matches.
Alexander.
It was a word processor.
Whatever. Gives a shit. It's computers in the 1990s.
So this event took place October 27th, 1991, which will be 29 years ago, probably when you listen to this in podcast form on Tuesday. It did a 1.0 buy rate. It went up against the seventh game of the World Series and a Sunday Night Football Giants-Redskins game that was apparently the hot ticket of the time. And you'll hear Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone make references to the World Series and the main event. Steve Avery and John Smoltz pitching, which I thought was really weird. And they said the masked man was in the back watching
and
the World
and
Series.
And doesn't Bisch, yeah. I was going to say, didn't Eric Bischoff or Paul Heyman make a reference to that too?
Yeah, Paul Heyman did during his promo. Yeah. So we open the show with a little Eric Bischoff's out back. He's going to meet all the wrestlers as they're coming up, and Cactus and Abdullah show up. And then they run an angle where they slam Barry Windham's arm in the door because at a house show a week earlier, he broke his wrist in four places, and he was going to be on the show for almost 6 months to a year. So that's why they ran that angle. Also, the one-man gang quit the promotion, which if you look at the original Chamber of Horrors promo poster, he was supposed to be in the Chamber of Horrors.
Yeah, and like Cactus Jack was supposed to be in a different match, right?
Yeah, Cactus Jack was supposed to wrestle.
Whoever wrestled.
Fuck.
Whoever. The guy who he was supposed to wrestle still wrestled.
Yeah, was he supposed to wrestle Bill Kazmir? Yes, he was.
Yeah. And Oz took over. Yeah.
So, Tony, what prompted you to watch this last night?
I was in the mood for a little Halloween action, and I hadn't watched the Chamber of Horrors in a while. So, and I figured because it was the first match and I watched it and I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with this. This is a fucking great show. So I stuck with it and it was a great show.
Now, for those not familiar with 1991, this is like just as Ric Flair has left WCW. He took the big gold belt with him. As you'll see in the main event, there is no big gold belt. And at the time, WWF just started running the Ric Flair Hogan house shows. And on the flip side, they're running like Luger against Z-Man is your main event at some of these house shows in WCW.
Well, why not?
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
Well, if you say why not now, but then, you know, Z-Man's fate on this Halloween Havoc.
You don't think WCW was happy to draw 4,300 people every time they did a show?
Why did you just say 4,300?
Yeah, what is that?
To make it sound more important.
So, 4.3 is. I don't know.
4,300 is 130 people.
Anything after the decimal point is like, if there's zeros after the three, it means nothing. It's just 4.3. Right?
No, because it's not 4.3 people showing up. It's 4,300 people.
I don't know.
Look, if you had $10.7 million in the bank, you could say $10.7 million. But since there were only 430 people, you could say 4,300 people.
Never heard that before.
Wow, Kevin's analyzing my jokes.
All right, onward. Chamber of Horrors. All right. We got Sting. We got El Gigante and the Steiner Brothers taking on Cactus, Abdullah, Big Van Vader, and the Diamond Stud.
And some jack-off that was in a coffin.
There were several jack-offs in coffins. You know who one of them was?
No, please tell me.
He was the Night
Darby Allin.
He was the Night Stalker.
Barry Windham?
No, Brian Clark.
Really?
Yes.
Wrath, Atom Bomb.
Yes, he was one of the men in the mask that came out of the coffin.
Well, good for him.
So,
just to get a paper.
So what do you guys think of the Chamber of Horrors?
I mean, first of all, they should have had a MRSA test because everybody looked fucking filthy. I don't know what they did. They mop the fucking mats with vomit? Did they clean ringside with diarrhea? Like, seriously, these guys, they all had shit stuck to them. It was disgusting. My favorite part was Cactus Jack getting fucking bamboozled by the Steiner brothers and the cage almost lowering down on top of him. That was fucking brilliant.
Yes, I like how Rick had to kick him to move him out of the way.
Yeah. And then fucking Cactus, another fucking botching tomfoolery, was when fucking he was up on the ropes to get the fucking switch and Steiner's in the chair and he's not pulling the switch until Abby gets in the chair. A switch, mind you, that kept falling on its own throughout the match.
Yeah.
And if you see one point, one of the referees is trying to duct tape it into place. Referee makes its debut. If you don't know what that is, they put one of those fucking like waterhead helmets on the referee with a camera inside it to try to see the action. But of course, it's not looking where the referee's looking. It's like looking down, so you don't really see anything anyway. And I don't know if you noticed, but when Abby was eliminated or whatever fucking verbiage they used rather than saying electrocuted, the fucking hat wasn't even on his head. Like,
yeah. I think the switch falling and then the Abby finish has sustained this pay-per-view throughout history just because of that. Like, that moment, despite how much awesome stuff was on this show, everyone remembers it for the switch falling before it was supposed to and nothing happening.
But that wasn't even the best part, right? Because after the action and Abby's in the chair and he's fucking, you know, defeated and Cactus is trying to revive him, they all of a sudden Abby wakes up and he's like a madman from the Sudan. Yeah. So much so that these poor slobs are trying to put the ramp back together and he just fucking
starts booting them.
And then I guess Cactus thought this would be a good idea because finally when the ramp was back in place, they beat up like these fucking 12 guys covered in baby powder that had a stretcher, I guess, to take the carcass away of whoever got electrocuted. And they just beat the shit out of these guys. So everybody went home a winner. Now, thanks to Abby and Cactus.
I have a question. Excuse me. So I forgot to mention, too, Vader subbed for Wyndham, who got hurt. So why would you show Wyndham showing up with Dustin if Wyndham is a heel and Dustin is a face?
I didn't understand that either. And that kind of explains what was like my next question. Why are they having like baby faces, members of each team coming out like not together? But then,
yeah, the announcing was really weird because they announced one person from one team, then one person from another, yeah, then two more from another team. It was really fucking strange.
It took me back to like for a second. I'm like, wait, this can't be the same Chamber of Horrors match that has Cactus Jack and Abdullah the Butcher in it. Cause I'm thinking like Ellie got hit. I'm like, Vader. Like what team was Vader on in this? And then it was just weird.
Yeah, it was fun. The match was fun. Cactus got juice. Abdullah got juice. They have Rick Steiner in the chair. And the ghouls came out. All the ghouls came out with the stretcher. That's whatever that was. They're all dressed in white. That was really weird. Because I guess someone was gonna get stretchered out of there. Abdullah has Rick Steiner in, but Rick belly to belly switches with him, and then he can't. Abdullah sat on the helmet, so there's a struggle to get the helmet, and he's like really having a hard time getting the helmet out from under Abdullah.
Now the chair is just not in the ring. The chair is surrounded by another cage inside the ring. So now picture this little cage inside the big cage, and fucking Rick Steiner, fucking belly to bellies, Abdullah the Butcher in a switch around into the chair, and Cactus is on the fucking apron, on the ropes the whole time, waiting for this to transpire for whatever god awful reason.
Wait a second, Matt. The poster that I just pulled up on Wikipedia has the bad guy team as Barry Windham, Diamond Stud,
One Man Gang,
who looks like the Blue Meanie in this, and Oz.
Yeah, there were a lot of substitutions. Yeah.
Cactus and Oz traded place. Vader substituted for Wyndham, and Abby was brought in for because One Man Gang quit.
What was the story behind them switching, and why, if Oz was supposed to be in this big match, why did they make him lose to Kazmaier? Doesn't make too much sense.
I don't know. I didn't find anything on that.
That's weird. I just noticed this right now. One Man Gang looks like Blue Meanie.
You know what was really weird? Big Josh and PNU's being a team. This was actually a fun match.
That was really weird. The creatures weren't very weird.
Who were the creatures?
The creatures were Jumpin' Joey Maggs and some big, tall dude named Johnny Rich, who didn't have much of a career. That's what I found in my research.
Yep, you are correct.
I like how you see fucking Big Josh, who is... why can't I think of his name?
Matt Bourne,
yes. And he does the whoopee cushion as part of his finish. And then fucking PN News drops the big fucking slap of beef on top of him. And the best part was Big Josh jumps on top of PN News and fucking pretty much just puts his boot in the back of his head to hold him down for the pin. As if you needed this to hold down creature number two. It was fucking great. I loved it.
Oh, I got to stop you there because you got a little ahead of you. There's a promo before this match.
Thank you very much, Jim. Oh.
Tony. As you can see, we're getting into the Halloween spirit. And as hard as we have tried, neither Missy or I have been able to find out who the WCW Phantom is.
I found out who it is.
Wait a minute, Missy. You've been with me all day long. You don't know who it is. You can't lie to these people.
I know who it is. I'm just just not going to tell you because I don't like you.
Right. Well, I see the Young Pistols. Tracy, Steve coming by. Guys, tell me, do you know who the WCW Phantom is?
Eric, we these old boys here, we don't give a hoot nor heck who the Phantom is. What we're interested in is the United States tag titles currently held by the Patriots. Guys, we've laid our challenge out to you. And the Young Pistols, we're just beginning to wonder if your guys' colors, the Patriots, are red, white, and blue, or just plain yellow.
That's right. Take a gander at the new sons of the South, baptized on 100 proof and raised by the blood of the Lamb. Look here, Fireman Chip, while you was giving fire tips to little kids and phony baloney Tide Champion Desert Shield, man, this is professional wrestling. These two boys are sick and tired of playing it the good way. We're going to get you for the U.S. tag titles. The Young Pistols, their guns are loaded. Let's get back down to the ring.
I don't understand this at all, why this promo was here.
Because they're challenging them for the titles, that's why.
Yeah, but they didn't wrestle them on this show.
Kevin left.
Yeah, his thing froze. Like, what? I don't understand the point of this promo.
I guess to hype up that they were coming after the Patriots? WCW, dude. Why are you asking that question?
Right, fair enough. So you kind of essentially covered the whole Pia News, Big Josh thing. Really weird pairing, but Pia News and Big Josh win.
Like the fat white lady in the front row that won the rap contest that wrote that rap that Pia News was rapping. I fucking hope that Death Row Records signed that woman.
Yeah, do you? Holy dog shit.
She had the B-side to Natural Born Killers. Yo, baby.
We move on from here. Bobby Eaton, Terrence Taylor.
Excellent match.
Fantastic
match.
Bobby Eaton is a treasure. And you know what? Terry Taylor gets a lot of shit for being the fucking Red Rooster, but homeboy can work.
He was fucking great in this match. And dude, the Alabama Jam, nothing beats that finish. Nothing. It's fucking poetry. And the way Terrence Taylor takes it too, turns his head at the absolute last second as Bobby Eaton's hitting the canvas. Poetry, dude. Absolute beauty. Beautiful.
Bobby Eaton's dropping knees from the top rope to the ramp.
Yeah, fucking sick. Good stuff.
Excellent match. I really enjoyed this match a lot. The side suplex and the powerbomb on the ramp.
And a lot of hope spots by Bobby Eaton, too. He played, the comebacks were so perfect. The cutoffs were great. I have no complaints about this match. This was a fine fucking match. You know what I noticed was a theme throughout the show?
Halloween.
Aside from that.
What?
A theme that's quite prevalent on Wednesday nights. Is it just me or did they talk about ratings an awful lot during this show? Holy shit, they made a big deal about ratings.
This isn't Bill Watts, is it? He's not entirely in yet.
Bill Watts, yeah. Oh yeah, this is him. This is still him.
Yeah. So the ratings, yes, they talked about the rankings. The ratings. I guess that was something they were doing for a very short time there. Yeah, they talked about that. Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone talked about the rankings quite a bit. After Bobby Eaton pins Terrence Taylor, we get a heel Johnny B. Badd. With Peanut Head.
This is a very fucking really beta Johnny B. Badd into what he would become. Holy fuck. The teased hair, the makeup, the outfit. Jesus Christ, dude. He looked like a fucking cross-dressing stripper. Sick.
And he took on Jimmy Garvin with Michael Hayes, who had his arm in a sling. And they were really playing up to the Atlanta crowd, doing the tomahawk chop. Which I thought was
weird. Like from what I understand, Michael Hayes was supposed to wrestle somewhere else on the show, but he was hurt. And I think they wanted to put him with Jimmy Garvin to keep Jimmy Garvin getting like that rub so that this way Johnny B. Badd would get the heel reaction. But I don't know. It was just weird. It's weird seeing this early incarnation of Johnny B. Badd though. And I mean, Jimmy Jam got the fucking rub from Michael Hayes, and he was over his shit, dude.
Yeah, and I think
he fucking popped, dude. They fucking popped for Michael P.S. Hayes and every fucking thing he did.
And I think Hayes was supposed to wrestle Van Hammer.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we didn't get to fucking Iron Man Van Hammer yet. We'll get to him.
But
they
didn't want to put Hayes in there because they knew that people would cheer for him over Van Hammer.
Oh yeah.
So 100%. He does the arm in the sling, but then his arm comes out and he wallops Johnny B. Bad. And I chuckled every time Jim Ross called Teddy Long Peanut Head. I had a good laugh at that. But
good shit.
Johnny
you don't really fuck me up at the ending of this match, though. Johnny B. Bad like gets the fucking what would become the kiss that don't miss off the distraction. And then when he pins Jimmy Jam, Jimmy Jam literally puts his leg over the referee and on top of the referee, and then Teddy Long pushes off. How the fuck does the referee not feel this, dude? Are you feeling me, playa? Like, seriously, how do you not know what's going on right on top of you?
That's his, that's what the referee does.
Well, whatever. So, whatever. Johnny B. Bad won. It was a fine match. You know, the people were hot for fucking Hayes. Good for them. It was strange. It was a strange fucking, and Teddy Long being out there with him, it was strange. I'll leave it at that.
Apparently, Johnny B. Bad broke his nose on that sunset flip off the top rope, too.
Oh, is that why his mouth was bleeding?
Yeah.
All right, that made more sense. I was trying to pinpoint where it happened, and I didn't notice until he was on the outside of the ring. Wait, was it, because then at one point, when he went up on the outside, he kind of leaped over the top by himself and went out and tumbled over the buckle, but it was before that. So.
Now, before we get into the next match, Missy Hyatt is on she's trying to figure out who the WCW Phantom is. And as we know on our podcast, the one person who's probably not the best speaker shouldn't be the person you ask about
guys,
the WCW Phantom.
I'm still looking for the WCW Phantom, and I can't find him. It's not fair. I want to be the first to find him. Oh, beautiful Bobby, stop. Please tell me, where's the WCW Phantom?
Who's the Phantom? How about Dorothy, Myra, Jack? I don't know who you're talking
about. Look, you've been in the dressing room. I know you know where he's at. Tell me, I want to be the first, please.
Hey, Missy, I'm going to celebrate. I just want a match.
Please help me out here. Don't disappoint me.
Women.
It's weird. She goes from like not saying that she knows who it is to not knowing anything about where he is.
Yeah, I think if you want to write it off, you could just say like, oh, she was being a bitch to Bischoff, but then she was trying to hoping to get information from somebody that might really know.
It was
kind of like Heenan. Like Heenan always said he knew everything, and then he fucking was full of shit.
And if you haven't seen Halloween Havoc 91, Bobby Eaton is holding a pumpkin during that whole.
It's fucking Halloween Havoc. Why not?
Yeah, but why is he going to go celebrate with a pumpkin? Was he going to bang it?
The winner's purse was in the fucking hole where he's going to put his pichade. That's why.
Next.
Like, you eating?
Next was my favorite match of the night. Steve Austin and Dustin Rhodes. And if you catch JR on commentary, he says, if I'm going to build a franchise... Yep. Steve Austin is the first person I'm going to pick, which is
number one pick. He's an All-American.
Was very funny.
Now, Kevin, I got a question for Kevin.
All
right. Did you find something a little strange about this match?
That I went.
Did
to
you catch what I caught?
That
no,
I went Matt to a draw.
It, but you would have caught it. You would have caught
that,
it.
That I went to it. Now, keep in mind, I was watching this at work, so I may not have been 100%.
Okay, you would have caught. Maybe you didn't catch it, but if anybody would have caught it, it would have been you.
His gear. No.
You're close.
The TV title.
Matt. Yes, Matt nailed it. It was the NWA Television Championship, even though he was the WCW TV champ.
All right. I mean, I noticed the belt. I just assumed that it was just, I don't know, one thing to do. What's this phrase? Something to do, not about the other, or much to do about nothing, or
I don't
something
know.
Like that.
But they had their big fallout with the NWA, and they're carrying around an NWA.
I was going to say, how far removed are they from that fallout here?
Well, I mean, the only other thing is, the NWA was always just about like the world championship, not even so much the tag team championship, but it did after a while. But the only real belts that they cared about was the world championship, the women's championship, and then eventually the tag belt. So maybe they just didn't care that the belt was floating around doing whatever anymore.
Yeah, it could have floated under the radar.
Yeah. So there you go.
No, but I didn't notice it. And I looked at it. I'm like, man, this belt doesn't like look right for like the time. Because, like, we'll fast forward to, like, the, you know, the world championship belt that they had, and I'm just looking at this belt. I'm like, this looks a little old school for where they are at this point. But,
yeah. So it was.
Yeah. Great match, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
See, here's one thing that bothers me, though. This was a pay-per-view, correct? Or was this a TBS deal?
Pay-per-view.
I guess because it's still on TV, but it's not, like, a TV show, like, could you do without the draw, or is it just because it's a TV title it has to have a draw? It has to have a time limit.
I mean,
actually,
I mean, Dustin was still up and coming at this point anyway, wasn't he? He was still the natural, and he was still like the young guy. Yeah. So,
I guess every match has a time limit. I guess that's kind of silly, but this was like fresh off his WWE run. Like this is him coming back after I think he teams with Dusty at Summers or Rumble or.
I mean, he didn't have much of a run in WWE, but yeah, I think it was shortly after.
I'll never understand that run and why it didn't last longer.
Because Dusty probably had enough. Dusty was probably tired.
Dusty went back, and then Dustin went back.
Yeah, and there was the whole DiBiase Virgil feud against them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so that makes sense now.
No problems with this match either. I liked this match. I thought it was fine.
It was a great match.
Yeah, as a youth. Anytime I saw like a Dustin Rhodes or a Steve Austin TV title match, like it excited me. And if you go back to like 91, 92 and watch like the programs these guys were in, you know, Steamboat and Austin, Wyndham and Rhodes, like fucking awesome, just awesome matches. The fucking way they bumped, the way they told stories, like unbelievable. And it's so much fun to see Steve Austin pre broken neck, where he is just a fucking machine, dude. He is a wrestling machine. And Lady Blossom.
I forgot about Lady
Blossom. Hell yeah, son. She had them hitters hanging out.
And Jack, listen, it's so funny how like some things change or like they never change. Like Jim Ross was like, oh, they were featured in a poster in a WCW magazine and had to be a 2-page fold because Tony was like, well, JR. And he's like, Tony, and then JR's like, I'll tell you after the show. It had to be a 2 pages because of Lady Blossom's blossoms. I guess you could say.
That's a good one. I like
that. and JR is still the same. Dude, that's what the first thing that struck me about this. We're watching Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross call a show in 1991. And then, like, two nights from now, we'll watch them call a show on TNT. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
29 years later, they're still doing it.
And Jim Ross is still making the same weird, creepy jokes.
Can we talk about the back-to-back shit that comes up next?
Oh, man. Man, I can't believe fucking Bill Kazmaier has a win over Kevin Nash. Came out carrying the world.
And he couldn't even carry it right. He was kind of like almost falling over with it.
He was just selling it, buddy. That's a 650-pound globe. Let me ask you this, though. If you didn't know that how Oz started and how he came out with that ridiculous mask, and if you just saw like Oz, the character, and you saw Kevin Nash, like... It's not the worst name for a character in the world. Like, if you don't call him, like, the Magical or whatever his intro is, like, the Magical Oz or whatever it is. Like, if you just saw Oz and you saw Kevin Nash come out, it's not the worst gimmick in the world.
Nah, I know there's been worse, but it ranks down there.
Yeah, because the way he was debuted. But if you saw him come out the way he did for the first time, not like he did with that ridiculous movie mask on. Like, if his name was just Oz. And he's coming out like 7 foot tall with that bleach blonde hair and that
This is 10 years before the prison show. So, you know,
I didn't even think about the prison show. Like I'm thinking like, all right, this guy's Oz. Like, all right, I can dig that.
Here's my notes. Bill skinned the cat. Impressive for a guy his size. He wins with the backbreaker. Maybe stealing one from Bruno Sammartino there. I know, Matt, that's a reference for you. They gave this fucking thing 4 minutes. This thing got 4 fucking minutes. How does this get 4 minutes?
For two big men, I didn't think it was terrible.
It was bad.
Like the opening spot with there was two spots, the opening and then the finish. And everything else is what it is.
I don't understand how he goes from being in the Chamber of Horrors match to this.
Well, that's what I just said. Like, how does he go from losing to Kazmaier? He was in the main event or one of the main events.
Let's be honest.
Losing to Kazmaier.
The Chamber of Horrors, it didn't fucking matter who was in there. It really didn't matter. They could have put those 7 fucking powder guys in there with Sting. It didn't fucking matter. Sting.
So then why? I mean, it had to matter for something because your biggest star was in it.
Yeah, I don't know. And the Steiners were in it too, but who gives a shit?
Yeah,
Abdullah had a fucking following at that point in WCW? No.
It was weird, yeah. It was definitely weird.
Gives a shit, whatever.
It was weird. Not as weird as them digging up. Maybe Doug Summers was in one of those coffins that was outside. Dude,
yo, he looked like dog shit. This is fucking Buddy Rose, Doug Summers running wild with the Rockers, AWA fucking Doug Summers.
Yeah.
When
I first saw him and I didn't realize who it was, I'm like, oh, they're not put. Is that a, why is there a Mulkey on a WCW pay-per-view?
I wrote, wow, Doug Summers looks like shit. Hammer moves like shit. What is this shit?
Hold, Tony, they had the jackhammers for Van Hammer.
Ah, loved it. Van Hammer was a if Van Hammer had like a little bit of talent, what a star he could have been.
The only,
they should have had a couple of guys pounding their puds because they could fucking call him the jack off Van Hammer.
He only missed three of his five moves that he did.
Oh, the fair enough. The opening, the first, like I said, the opening in the other match, the opening in this match were like Irish whip and you know. And he comes back and they just don't know what to do.
Every move was fucked. Wow, wow, wow. These are my fucking notes. Looks like shit, wrestles like shit. Oh my God. The Irish whip where Doug Summers almost falls over himself.
Yeah, that's not, yeah.
The worst, and this was fucking scary. And I don't know how he fucking survived. That fucking abomination slingshot suplex for the finish where he started going down before he even fucking sprang him on the top rope. Doug Summers fucking should have died in the ring. He should have fucking died. There's no reason he should have survived that. It was fucking garbage.
This was
Van Hammer's jumping around with the guitar. He's not even pretending to play it. He's just holding it over his head like a fucking championship. And there were two busted strings. Did you catch that? This fucking jackoff don't even know how to wire his fucking string up his fucking guitar.
He's heavy metal.
He looked like a fucking bazillion dollars, though.
Oh,
he looked
100%.
Like $6 billion. However, ugh.
Like if he had the talent, let's see who I can compare him to. Here you go. If he had like half of like Lex Luger's talent, he would have been a main event guy.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what, Kevin?
Luger's talent.
That is a fucking fantastic comparison. Like, no bullshit. Right? That's a great point. Like, because we see it in the main event. Lex Luger was, you know, he was a fucking body guy.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that's a great comparison, Kevin. Kudos to you for that.
If Lex Luger wasn't the great. I just pulled that out there.
I like that.
Just do it out there.
I'll tell you what. We had two shit sandwiches in a row, and then. On paper, Brian Pillman, Richard Morton, I thought was going to be awesome. But
it's Richard Morton.
I said Richard Morton, no?
No, that's what I'm saying, though. If it was Brian Pillman versus Ricky Morton.
I felt like this was... What?
You didn't like this match?
No, I thought it missed the mark by a ton.
Fucking 100% disagree on that. I thought this was fucking awesome. I thought Richard Morton played a fucking great heel. The way he would fucking do some fucking weird shit and then turn around and eat it. Fucking, it was great, dude. I thought it had great psychology. I thought he fucking did a great job.
I think a lot of people want to forget this part of Ricky Morton's career.
Well, it doesn't help that he fucking kept the bleach blonde hair and the fucking rock and roll tights.
Tony, you read my freaking mind.
That was a big problem. However, wrestling as a heel, I thought he fucking did a bang up job. I loved it.
And I was going to ask you guys if he ever had like legit. I don't remember. I can probably go back and watch, but did he ever have legit heel, like straight leg, like no fringes, no like tassels on his gear, like gear?
Maybe in the early days?
But I don't, and again, my timeline is so off. Like, I don't know how long this character lasted. I can't imagine it lasted long.
Couple things that I took away from this. Number one, the light heavyweight weight limit was 236 pounds. Fucking Macho Man could have been a light heavyweight for Christ's sakes. Don't you think that was a little high?
Oh, it's 1991.
Like, I'm not saying like it had to be like 200 pounds or under, but Jesus Christ, like 215, I think, is like the boxing light heavyweights, isn't it?
I'm not casting any dispersions, but what were a lot of people doing in 1991? It was kind of hard to probably be under 200 pounds in 1991.
Brother. Give me Dr. Zahorian's number, brother. Referee. Did you see who was in this tournament?
No, I didn't pay attention to who mentioned it. I sort of whiffed on who it was.
Okay, so Brian Pillman got a bye, and then he faced the winner of Joey Maggs against Bad Street.
Oh, that's right. He wrestled Bad Street.
And that was Brad Armstrong.
Brad Armstrong, yeah, yeah.
Richard Morton beat Johnny Rich, who was one of the creatures. Yes. Mike Graham defeated Terrence Taylor in the first round.
Mike Graham had a mothball.
Yeah, the creatures were huge.
Your semifinal match, Brian Pillman beat Bad Street, and then Richard Morton beat Mike Graham, and that's how he got here to crown the first inaugural WCW light heavyweight champion. I don't know, man. I just wasn't in. Like, Richard Morton's work is great, and Brian Pillman is fantastic, but if this is Bill Watts' era, where you can't jump off the top rope, like, I don't know, man. I just felt like this match was flat. It didn't do it for me. I was expecting a lot more.
I enjoyed it. I thought heel Richard Morton was pretty solid. I enjoyed Pillman. Pillman's fucking win at the end was fucking great. The fucking dive off the top. I thought it was fucking fine. Two things, actually. I don't know if you caught it. They mentioned as part of the photographers at ringside, your friend and mine, Wally Choppy Choppy PP Yamaguchi, was there. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't.
And, you know, it brought me back to AEW, because every time they fucking show the ramp, there were two jackoffs holding cameras on the ramp, and it distracted the shit out of me. Get off the fucking ramp, please, and thank you. Holy Christ. And it was two jackoffs in jean shorts holding equipment. I'm like, really? Get off the ramp. Don't be on the ramp.
Really, really paying attention to detail there, buddy, huh?
No, it bugged me, because every time they would pan that side of the ring, I'd see these two jackoffs, and they look like they were in the match. It's hard. You don't keep that perspective of them being outside the ring.
Fair enough.
Anyway, speaking of being outside the ring, somebody makes a return here as the fucking Halloween Phantom destroying Tom Zane.
What do you mean he makes a return? This was his debut.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, it's not a return yet.
We'll find out soon enough who it was making his return. But as of right now, yes, he's the Halloween Phantom.
Now, he was many things. He was the Halloween Phantom. He was the WCW Phantom. Can we pick a fucking name for this poor guy?
The Phantom. Let's just call him the Phantom. Call him Phantasmo. Maybe he'll pull your drawers off.
I enjoyed his creepy music as he came to the ring to wrestle the Z-Man.
What was your favorite part of this match?
The ending. And when Tony Schiavone's like, you know what that move is known worldwide as? That's the Rude Awakening.
Hated that. Was that Tony or was that JR?
That was Tony.
No, I like the move just before that when Tom Zink hit him in the face with a drop kick and he just fucking no-sold it and gave him the fucking Rude Awakening. That was the best part to me. Completely said, fuck your drop kick. Good stuff.
But
I gotta
tell
you. No, we didn't get the reveal yet. First we get the tag title match, and then we get the reveal.
Firebreaker Chip, baby. Todd Champion.
Firebreaker Chip and Todd Champion, the U.S. champions, taking on the world champions, the enforcers, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko. And I tell you what, enjoyed the shit out of this match, too.
So did I.
Really enjoyed it. Matt, like it? Three thumbs up across the board?
No, this was a good match, but man. Here's the thing, what? Right? We got the Southern boys cutting a promo. Talking about the Patriots, and then the enforcers beating your U.S. tag team champions. I don't know, man. Firebreaker Chip looked great. Fucking that other Todd Champion looked like a douchebag.
Yeah, but
I think you have him confused. I thought Todd Champion looked really good.
Champion, the tall guy.
Yeah, yeah, no. Firebreaker Chip, he looked good. He got in there. He started the match off with Zbyszko. Then they switched to Arn. I was into Firebreaker Chip.
The only thing I had in notes, the things that was fucked up near the end, where Todd Champion fucking blew the atomic drop in the corner and they just fucking stood there looking at each other. I think Arn Anderson sold it and he didn't really fucking put his knee out. But other than that, dude, I was fine with this. The fucking banging of the heads and Arn getting the spine, the spine buster, was it the DDT? It was spine buster, wasn't it? Did he finish with the spine buster? Somebody help?
Yes.
Okay, so then that's what it was. And the crowd went nuts for that, so good on them. And I don't mind the U.S. tag champs losing to the world tag team champions. That makes sense, you know?
Arn pinned the Chipster.
Yeah, there you go. But I was fine with this, dude. I thought it was a fucking good little match.
I mean, if you're Todd Champion and Chippy Magoo, you really can't be upset. You can't really have a bad match with Zbyszko and Arn Anderson.
And that's the thing, like when we talked to...
And they held their own.
When we talked to Ricky Steamboat, like you know, Zbyszko was always known as the Granite Man, but man, fucking Zbyszko was working his ass off here. They were a fucking great team. And I know Tony Schiavone said it, like, and to me, like, Bobby Eaton's always a tag guy, but Arn Anderson's a fucking tag specialist, 100%, no doubt. Oh,
he was on one of my top fives.
Unbelievable.
As top five.
And I think Jim Ross referred to him as the greatest tag team wrestler ever.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd argue Bobby Eaton fits in there as well.
But
I would
right.
not, I would not discount anyone for saying Arn Anderson, number one tag guy ever, because I could 100% agree with that statement. I got no argument against that.
Do you guys
Bobby want, Eaton's personal preference to me.
Do you want to hear the big reveal?
Oh, yeah,
yeah, of course.
Because Heyman cuts a scathing promo, and then Rick Rude has some very surprising words for the Stinger. I was not ready for this. In 2020, I don't know what 1991 Matt would have done if
were you
this.
Not ready for the music to be playing for half of his promo?
Holy fuck, well, dude.
We'll talk about that too. Here we go.
Well, thanks, Jim and Tony. And what a great night of WCW action. We've still got our 2-out-of-3 fall match for the heavyweight champion of the world to come. But I'm here because I've been told that my former broadcast colleague, Paul E. Dangerously, has some news that is going to shock WCW to
because he is the Shockmaster.
And as Paulie Dangerously makes his way to the interview area accompanied by Medusa, Paulie Dangerously, I'll ask you point blank, what is this earth-shattering news?
First of all, there's a story that nobody here has had the guts to break. For those of you who have been watching television and haven't seen me for a couple of weeks, WCW is headed by a steering committee. A bunch of modern-day Einsteins that don't realize it's 1991. See, these guys think I'm too controversial. These guys say, Paulie Dangerously, you're too outspoken. So they say to me, Paulie Dangerously, you are no longer the co-host of World Championship Wrestling. Now, this means war. This means war on the championship committee. This means war on World Championship Wrestling. Because in case you forgot, I happen to have a manager's license. And the way to bankrupt this whole damn company is to take away your heroes. And I'm starting right at the top with Sting. Because what would WCW do without Sting? So I went out and got the First Lady of World Championship Wrestling, Medusa. And I said, Medusa, find me the man that can eliminate Sting for good. Find me this man, and this man is here in this building tonight. And Jim Ross couldn't pull his mask off. And Tony Schiavone couldn't pull his mask off. Maybe you could have, but he's been in the back watching the World Series game. Ladies and gentlemen, the man Medusa brought to me is here tonight. His name is the WCW Halloween Phantom.
Such a nice touch saying that maybe Bischoff could pull off the mask.
The man behind this mask is the only man on the face of the planet that can help me bankrupt this company till I can buy it and fire every single person that has stood in my way. The man behind this mask is the only man that's ever eliminated each and every person in his way. The man behind this mask is the only man that can crush the hopes of the little Stingers until a man stands over the remnants of his career and says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, rest in peace, Stinger, your career is over. Ladies and gentlemen, the next United States Heavyweight Champion, Ravishing Red Rose.
Wow. Is that incredible or what? What a coup.
That's right, people. It's Ravishing Rick Rude. And anybody who knows Ravishing Rick Rude knows that all I care about is myself, my women, and my money.
It just so happens that my money man has a problem with the World Championship Committee. And the way he sees fit to solve this problem is to dismantle the WCW brick by brick.
The brick.
What better way, Mr. Dangerously, to start off than with a low-life scumbag like Sting?
Wow.
Really?
The DX dude.
You know, Mr. Dangerously, a couple questions come to my mind, being that I never had the opportunity to stand face-to-face with the Stinger. I'm kind of wondering if he's really as small as he looks on television. I'm kind of wondering if he is the low-life garbage collected scumbag that he portrays on TV. Well, Sting, your days are numbered. I'm going to tear apart the WCW, and I'm going to take your United States title.
A couple things. I just want to point out how small Rick Rude looks in WCW.
Yeah.
He's not as fucking... Kevin's making a face. He's not as chiseled as he won in WWF.
He was never like... He was always lean, though. He was always lean.
But he, like... I don't know. I just feel like he doesn't look as chiseled as he did in WWF. And that fucking Paulie promo...
Fire.
Man, in fucking 1991, Paulie's cutting promos like that. It's no wonder he's as successful as he is. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
I was a little upset about the Rick Rude calling Stinger a scumbag.
Cat,
why is that?
Cat,
what do you mean, why? Sting is not a scumbag, Kevin.
Well, if you're a bad guy, he is.
Yeah, it was a weird choice of words.
I don't feel like you heard that verbiage in 1991 on either of the wrestling shows.
Well, I was seven.
Well, now you know why this guy wound up in ECW and then in DX and then the NWO. And, you know, he was a pioneer.
Oh, there he was ravishing.
Simply ravishing. Can we talk about our main event?
Yes, let's talk about our main event. Two out of three falls. Lex Luger with Harley Race takes on Ron Simmons with Dutty Rose Daddy. And we get that.
And Ron Simmons gets the babyface treatment here with the fucking Florida State walk around campus. What was it? Bobby Bowden's his coach. The fucking chatting him up, checking out his fucking jersey, retired in the locker room, doing all the sprints up and down the steps. And then they announce him. And then they announce him again when he's coming to the ring. It was a weird fucking moment.
Yes, that
there.
Was fucking weird because I thought they were announcing him and then Gary Michael Capetta announced him again. I caught that, yes. And it was weird. And I don't know how long Dusty had been back because he was done with the WWF 2 at this point.
And of course they had to announce just for this night only, Dusty Rhodes was going to be in his corner. It's like,
The threat, Daddy, you got to take a break. Take a break, Daddy. I got you.
Total package, fresh off of getting shit on for fucking winning the title at the Great American Bash 1991. Yikes.
All right, so bring me back, T-Donk or Matt. Ron Simmons beats Vader when? In
92, early?
Two, I think, yeah.
Oh, so this is even... Okay, so this is before he's even the champion.
Yeah, because... Okay, this belt was the one that came after the Great American Bash, which Luger beat Wyndham for that title, like shortly before this. So this is like the new.
So who beats Luger for this then? Vader?
Sting.
And then Vader beats Sting.
Loses to
and
Vader,
then Ron Simmons beats
Ron Simmons.
All right, my timeline is all screwed up with this. I thought like Ron Simmons I thought Ron Simmons was getting a rematch. Like I thought maybe Luger beat Ron Simmons. And now this is Ron Simmons' rematch.
Yeah, no.
I didn't realize that Ron Simmons had a shot at the belt before he actually won it.
Yeah, to Tony's point, Luger beats Wyndham at the Great American Bash. Sting beats Luger at Super Brawl 3. Vader beats Sting at the Great American Bash in 92. And then at a house show, or Saturday night's main event, August 2nd, 1992, Simmons beats Vader.
And then does Vader win it back?
Yes, at a house show in December, Vader wins it back at the end of 92, and then Sting wins it in London, England. Him and Vader trade the title overseas before Flair comes back, and he wins it at Starrcade 10.
Remember when
Flair has the unification and then we take off from there.
See, that's, I'll give WCW a whole lot of credit. They changed titles on house shows way more than WWE ever did.
Yeah, in the later years, yeah.
And now it's such a, well, in the early 90s, they did it. That, I mean, what Matt just read off was kind of proof of that.
No, but WWE was doing it, but they did it more out of necessity in this time.
No, they did it. They did it at what the like, you know what? All right, well, it depends on how far you want to go back. If you want to go back to like the back when Bruno era, then I guess maybe it happened.
No, I'm talking about the 90s. I mean, we had shit with Mountie. We had shit with Bret Hart. I mean,
I'm talking about the world title. Like Bret Hart. It once.
Diesel. No,
Diesel is the one that comes
Brett too was a house show. And
that was a house show when he beat Ric Flair. And when did Ric Flair beat the Macho Man? Wasn't that a house show as well?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I guess I didn't really consider those house shows because I saw it for the first time on TV.
Diesel might have been the very last house show title change.
For the world title?
World title, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it might have been. Because everything now is like Raw and SmackDown and, you know.
Yeah, strange. I think you might be right. Like, I don't think a top title has changed hands since then on the house show.
I mean, I think that there wasn't the last IC title here at the Garden.
Maybe Zack Ryder. No,
like within the last like year, I think the IC title changed hands. AJ Styles beat somebody, or someone beat AJ Styles.
AJ Styles beat somebody. You're right.
Hey, you know what I learned? I learned that Lex Luger's fucking finishing pile driver was called the Attitude Adjustment.
Yes.
Today fucking years old.
Wild.
And he fucking still fucked it up. Although, I got to admit,
I think that was trying to get over the shoulder, that he landed on his shoulder as opposed to.
That's the thing. Either Lex Luger's a genius and he did the pile driver purposely that way to injure the shoulder, or he's just a fucking idiot and lucked into the greatest finish of all times. Like,
I think Ron Simmons helped him too. Ron Simmons kind of, if you look at the way, like if you watch the replay and you look the way Ron Simmons kind of like lifted his shoulder out of it.
Yeah.
Because it hurt so bad. Like, I think it was actually really well done. Because no, it was not the most aesthetic looking pile driver, but it did the job. And credit them and the announcers too for making that scene.
And the ending to all the falls was great. Like the ending to the first fall with Simmons getting the power slam and getting the pin, that was perfect. The fucking dive over the top where Harley Race was grabbing onto the tights so he wouldn't fall over. You know, it's kind of shitty, but he's a heel and that's a shitty thing to do, and they got away with it. And fucking, what was it? There was one point where Luger had Simmons pinned and Simmons kicked out, and Harley Race just yells, "Jesus Christ, you could have counted to 10. I was like, holy cow.
Yes, and then Schiavone is, they're trying to explain, like, oh, he meant to say that they could have been a 10 count outside the ring. What are you guys talking about?
They weren't paying attention. They weren't paying attention. You see, like, you watch them on AEW, and sometimes you scratch your head, like, what are they talking about? They've been doing this for 30 years. They've been perfecting Stu Nod.
In the middle of this match, they were talking about Steve Avery pitching for the Braves, and then Jim Ross goes, "How about that John Smoltz?" The fucking main event. 2 out of 3 falls. What are you guys doing?
This makes me understand them so much more. And I can't really, I'm going to watch them totally different now when they call.
Yeah, like you look
matches.
At them now and it's like, yeah, they're a little older and JR is a little more curmudgeonly. Is that a word? But Jesus Christ, they've been doing this fucking shtick for a long time. Holy cow. Holy cow. Any highlights that you guys want to talk about in the main event?
No Nothing highlights. I feel like I've seen that Simmons video like a million fucking times. Like
I think they played it again on his way to challenging Vader.
Because I feel like recently I put on a random Saturday night's main event on the network and it was just like they showed that video.
Either that they it was like one of those videos that like they've used it before leading up to something. Either this or the Vader win. They did 100%, or even after the Vader win. Just to put over how awesome Ron Simmons was as a champion. Yeah, they've definitely, it wasn't the first time that you saw it, for sure.
Lex Luger takes 2 falls in a row to win the match 2-1 and retain the championship.
Yeah, we're on the Starrcade 91 Battle Bowl.
Oh, boy.
I think there was a clash of the champions in between where Rude may have taken the title off of Sting.
It's possible, maybe. And I do like that version of the U.S. belt, the five-plate belt. I do like that version. That might be my favorite of all the U.S. titles, including the one that everybody likes that, you know, after the five, the 10 pounds of silver, the one that Magnum TA, Nikita Koloff, like that whole stretch in there. I think I like this one the best.
What do you give it if you had to give it a grade?
Solid B plus.
Yeah, you know what? I was tempted to just go for a B, but if you take the first matches and like some of the shit ones for the campiness, I'd edge toward a B plus. I'd go with Kevin on that one.
Yeah, because
there was
a
lot of good on. That's the problem with WCW in these points. The shit is really bad, but the good stuff is turns out always to be really good. You know, so I got no complaints.
No complaints on my end. To steal a page out of Conrad's book, the reader poll for the Observer, 58.9% gave it a thumbs up, 32% gave it a thumbs down, and 0.08% gave it a thumbs in the middle. So I think we're all in the same boat. This was a good show. It was a good watch.
What are you thinking? B? B plus?
Yeah, right in that wheelhouse. B, B
plus.
I'm
saying, like if you went B, I wouldn't argue with you, but yeah, I'm a little bit toward a B plus on this. Yeah.
I think the good outweighed the bad.
Oh, severely, yeah. I mean, for every Van Hammer in the opening match, we had quite a few fun matches in there that had some meaning and were fine.
Sure.
From fine, I mean, look, really good.
If you really want to get an idea of who Terry Taylor is, go watch his match with Bobby Eaton. It's awesome. It's fucking awesome. And he gets a bad rap for the Red Rooster shit. But Terry Taylor was good. Even in Mid-South, he was really good.
100%.
All right.
Kev, you got anything else?
I am good to go, baby.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. We'll be back next week, Monday night at 7 o'clock. Chris Levine, referee from GCW Impact Wrestling, will be joining us about 7:45 to promote his upcoming show on IWTV. So we'll be talking to him. We'll be talking more wrestling. I got nothing else, man. We'll be back next week. It was fun. Have a safe and happy Halloween. Enjoy that extra hour of sleep Saturday night because it's daylight savings time.
Yep.
Support your Wizards at Wizards Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Wizards Podcast. That's what we're called. Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. ProWrestlingTees.com/Wizards Shining Wizards on the Patreon, patreon.com/Wizards Podcast.
Yeah.
Support us for as little as $1 a month. And as Tony said, get those T-shirt orders in for that Halloween Shining Wizards Kick logo shirt so I can get it to you before Halloween. We'll be back next Monday with another rip-roaring, exciting episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
All right.
Hey, good night, Gracie.
Good night. Gotta pee.
Why, man? Why with the good night, Gracie stuff?
All right. I gotta pee.
Bro.
I'm dying.
Bye, Kevin.
Bye.
And we are out.